Advanced Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thinkologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thinkologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Good morning, everyone. It's June 6th, 2020. It's 6-6-2020. Thank you, Rick. That's Rick Springfield from
Australia.
Way back in the day. Australia. And honestly, exoteric, that's the first guy I think of is Rick Springfield when I think of you. You sort of look the same era.
Jesse's girls.
Good morning, everyone. That's Rolo. Rolo has just joined, crashed in. Hello, Rolo.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, and hello officially to Exoteric. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Psychologist.
Wonderful having you. And we also have Sean S. from Illinois calling in. Hello, Sean.
Hello, guys. Nice to meet you all.
And fantastic that Sean dropped in. I guess we're going to ask him a quick sec. He randomly came in. The Australians and I, we meet on Saturday mornings around 6 a.m., which is about 8 p.m. Sydney and Eastern Australian time.
8:30.
I know. We always start late because I can't keep an appointment to save my soul.
8 plus 3.
Yeah. So today we all get together. We have a chat. It's not really well organized, but that's fine. And sometimes it gets a little too big, too many voices, and that annoys Rick. But that's Rick and Rolo come back, I believe, tomorrow, and they're by themselves, so they don't have to deal with any interference.
We'll be tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah, we're closely becoming best friends. Me and Rick, and yeah.
Right. Well,
he's painted
FakeOTube.com. Yeah, we're going to be joined later by Heroes, who who is
Wonderful, involved. Yeah, he
loved the idea of FACO-Tube, so he has an announcement in and around FACO-Tube. I can't remember what he told me that I can and can't say, so I'll basically say absolutely nothing until he gets here. That way I won't get into trouble. Because, but FACO-Tube is my answer to YouTube censorship. So it's my YouTube hosting site. It's costing, I'll be completely fully disclosing, I pay $100 US a month for that.
Oh my God.
Which is way more than I used to, that's way more than I pay for fakeologist.com. But I got tired of posting videos and then they get torn down by YouTube. So I don't want to mirror YouTube, that would be insane, but anything I think is going to disappear, anyone who has a channel that comes and goes, like PK, and if I like a PK video, I'll put it up there. So that's what FACO-Tube is. If anyone
I checked it out. I'm sorry to I checked it out. It looks really good what you've done with the FACO-Tube.com. FAKEOTube.com.
I called it FACO-Tube because of Rolo, because he calls me FACO.
Yes, he did.
So it's a tribute to Rolo. I love Rolo, and he loves me.
Well, when Tom Dalpra, let's do a big shout out to Tom Dalpra. He was a bit loaded the other day.
Let's just say that both of you were. After all,
yeah, I shouldn't have played Bruce Hornsby, should I? I should have played Walking on Sunshine. I like Bruce Hornsby. I just love his piano work. I really do. But anyway.
So Sean, if you want to say anything on this broadcast on the Australian Roundtable, you have to basically interrupt and start talking over someone. I know you're a young man and you're deferring to your elders, which is fantastic, but you'll never be heard if you don't start talking over somebody. That's just how we do it here. There's no niceties at all. So if you're ever at a big dinner table, if you have a big family, you know if you don't speak up, you'll never be heard from. So go ahead.
Hold on.
Well,
how did you get here to Fakeologist? I mean, not
yeah,
to the
how
world.
Did you find up? Oh, how okay. did you find this place?
Yeah, how'd you find this backwater?
Well, I've been looking into media fakery for a while now, and as most people,
good.
Well, I don't know, but as most people, I assume I started on the general basic conspiratorial stuff, like. You know, and then I worked my way up through all of that, and then I found out that most of that shit that I believed was hoaxes to begin with, and I just followed the trail. I just recently, like within the last 5 days or so, realized I can finally wrap my mind around the war hoax now, and I'm just questioning, really now, like what is actually going on.
Good word, Ev.
The war.
I just dived into my bunker then.
Jeez, that scared the hell out of me. Hold on.
Well, it's like,
bang.
It reminds me of Nam.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the footage is ridiculous. The particular thing is the footage is ridiculous, and I just also realized that there's no real war footage. I mean, that's what really made it me understand this notion about war, that it's controlled demolition and strategic relocation. But I can't find really a...
That was fantastic. Were you sent here by Dave J? Just be honest.
No, I joined his Discord. I joined his
Discord.
Nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
Well, has Dave got a Discord?
Yeah.
Nobody died.
Nobody got hurt.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I joined his Discord.
That's a fact. That's a lie.
It's a lie.
Dave, calm down. Jesus.
What a voice. What a voice. But I can't find any, the particular question in my mind is now what specifically brought me to the Fakeologist Discord was I can't actually find any photo evidence of these deaths or any death or blood or gore in general that convinces me. And of course I'm not saying death is fake, but why seemingly from what I can see, why are all the pictures of death in general that we're getting from any official story fake as well with anything.
Well, I guess mainly because you can control them. You can control
them. Yeah, you sound like Sean, you sound like you were brought up well. What sort of background do you have? Like, what do you aspire to be? You're 20 years old, right?
Okay, well, so young. I was raised a liberal and a Christian, and I grew up with my dad being in prison primarily the majority of my life so far, since I was three.
Wow.
Wow. What was he in for?
Robbery and a bunch, just like a list of things that got him, you know, the snowball effect with sentencing and all of that. But
how did he get involved in, how did he get involved in crime so young? Was he poor? Brought up poor?
Yeah, yeah. Poor, drug addiction, drug habits, just a
parents?
Bad family, no family
parents?
Unit, bad structuring, and you know, just the multitude of societal factors that,
that's sad.
You know, snowballs into that sort of stuff. But yeah, I'm 20 years old now, and it's really difficult for me to.
Your parents married?
No.
Were they ever?
No.
Okay. Who brought you up then? Your dad was in jail.
What do you know about?
Wait.
September 11th. What do you
hold on a sec. We'll get there.
Okay.
We're just trying to figure out who you are. Who raised you?
Just my mom.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. And
shout
then,
out to the mothers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you still got one. Mine passed away 2 years ago.
Fake ologist, what are you having for breakfast this morning? I could hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm still wrapping. I'm almost finished. I had my usual.
What I thought about 9/11, and I'm fairly certain now that nobody died. It was not an inside job. It was a media job.
Nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
That's
right. We know there were no planes. I mean, everybody should know that by now, in my opinion. There were no planes.
Wait, let's do some quick math here. You were basically born around 9/11, 2001, if my math is any good.
I was born in December 1999, so I would have been...
You're a baby.
I would have been less than a year old. More than a year old.
No, you were less than a year. No, sorry, you're more than a year old. You're right.
Yeah. But I didn't remember it. Yeah. You know, so maybe that aspect of I didn't see it on TV as everybody else did, maybe that has helped me realize that nobody died, you know, because I don't have that emotional attachment as other people because I'm so young. But, yeah. And the same thing with war, too. I mean, I'm sure if I was...
Well, you are of recruitment age. How are you? What do you do to make a living? Because a lot of people your age go right into the military because they have no other ideas.
Yeah, you know, I've just before COVID, I was doing working for a FedEx warehouse. I just, you know, I don't have my life really together. I still live at home, you know, but I just work job to job and save money, you know, like, right now I'm on the, stimulus check unemployment because of what happened with, this lockdown, but yeah.
You like to drive? Oh, hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Errol C and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
That was a weak one.
Big shout out to Errol C.
Come on back, Errol C. Another blast from the past. We have a lot. We've been doing this since 2012. That's 8 years ago. You would have been 12. So we've been doing this a long time. Just for fun, do you want to record a quick bumper? Because nobody seems to go to SpeakPipe anymore. I need a new bumper. What he just said, you just heard that guy after that long beep. Could you repeat that? And we'll record it and put you in the circulation.
Let me help you out, Sean. Here you go.
Roll's going to give you an example.
Here we go.
Roll,
I'm going to help you out
today.
Right. Okay. I'm Sean from Illinois. You're listening to radio, Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Okay. I'm Sean from Illinois, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio.com.
No, Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. Take two.
Okay. I am Sean from Illinois, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio.
You say, hi, I'm Sean. Hi, I'm Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean from Fakeologist Radio.
Oh, no, I just walked on you. Start over.
I just walked on you. Take four, mate. Take four.
Say it again.
Hi, I'm Sean from Illinois. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hi, I'm Sean from Illinois, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Oh, well, you almost got it. No, you almost got it. No. On Fakeologist.com.
Okay.
Do you see how hard it is for Tom Cruise? See, you're having this... Don't forget, we don't hear Tom Cruise do 20 takes because they cut it all out, but go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sean, and you're listening to...
Nope. Sean from Illinois.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take seven.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sean from Illinois, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on FakeologistRadio.com.
Oh, you're so close. On Fakeologist.com.
Take eight.
Hi, I'm Sean from Illinois, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't know why that was so hard for me.
Well, first of all, you weren't reading a script. You weren't reading the script like everyone else. You were doing it from your memory, so you did great.
It took me ten guys to do it.
Rolo still doesn't get it.
Hey, I guess I could just add more verification that witness testimony means jack shit in this world, you know?
Excellent. That's well said. That is well said. That is correct. It's hard to remember.
Have you started Craigbot yet in case the streamer goes down?
No, I forgot, but let's do it now. Sorry, that's my fault.
Now recording.
I just straightened out. I just realized I have a couple of... this is a technical talk here. I have a couple access points on my network here at home, and they've been set up wrong for a year. And
really?
Most of the time it works accidentally, but occasionally they start fighting with each other and sharing IPs.
It screws the whole
network up. So I actually went to the great Googs and figured out how to configure them because I had no idea. I just plugged them in and they worked. And so today is the first day of my network not fighting with itself.
let's test how good your audio is. Out of respect for Tom Dalper, can we have a little bit of Walking on Sunshine?
No.
Now I got to remember how bloody
no.
Rick
Craig. Says no. Computer says no. Computer says no. I remember that, Rick.
I do. I want to watch that first series again. That's hilarious.
Mm.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning, heroes.
How are we?
How are you, big fella?
Oh, man.
I heard a cough there. Have you got COVID?
Yeah. No, I stirred up a shit storm last night. Jesus Christ.
Now recording.
There we go. It is Craig.
Craigsy.
Heroes, say hi to our newest member. We have a young man in the house, Sean from Illinois.
Hey, Sean from Illinois, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Yeah, Heroes, you got to get a little closer
Heroes,
to the mic.
Can you get a little closer to the mic?
I'm good. How are you?
Earbuds. I'm going to change earbuds. Sorry.
Guys. Yeah, Heroes, you're low. Sean said, hi, how are you? I'll just translate everything, because Illinois and Florida, they don't speak the same language. Hi,
ni
how are you, hero?
Ni hao.
That's G Long.
Yeah, that's
oh, we have fun here.
Friend Frank. Yeah, friend Frank. I spoke to Frank this morning. He's in good spirits after last week's show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this better, guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good. Perfect. Thank you. Sorry about that. But anyway, welcome, newcomer.
Thanks for the warm welcome. I'm here basically just because I discovered the war hoax. Not just because, but the war hoax. Discovering that, I think that's pretty much the fundamental.
Well, it is in the U.S., but Sean, of all the hoaxes that you could have figured out today in the era of COVID, why are you talking about that, say, compared to COVID, the germ theory? I mean, this COVID is taking over 2020. I know we've got the race riots going on everywhere in the U.S., and we're going to have a... Of course, we're going to do it in Toronto, too, even though we are proud of not being Americans here, according to most Canadians who hate Americans. Canadians hate Americans, but they love everything about America. So this is the most schizophrenic, stupid country there is, where I live.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just more of a, you know, it's... COVID is not hard for me. Germ theory is not hard for me. It's not... Because it's like, you can't show me a real photo, a non-composite photo of an atom, so it's like difficult for me to understand from somebody else's perspective how they could not conceptualize the idea that COVID, I mean, it's just so obvious, I don't even, you know, war on the other hand, war is a bigger one for me. And
What did you say? It was look like an orange, you know, stuck with clothes.
That's right.
Did everyone see the Captain America photo? That's the last scene on the first episode of Captain America the movie. He walks out to see that he'd been lied to, that he's actually in the future, and behind him is a giant Corona advert, and on the right hand side is a giant image of a virus. The exact same image.
Wow.
Good we've find. Been told.
Good find.
Hey, Rick, can I ask you a question? Your kid, released the Snyder Cut. Is he looking forward to the Snyder Cut? HBO Max is pushing?
What are you talking about?
About the Snyder Cut of Superman.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Batman versus your kid. You've got to go and ask your kid then.
No, well, I saw that movie.
It's called Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Anyone here know what Rollo's talking about? Please raise your hand.
Oh, sorry, guys. Get back to COVID-19.
Shut up.
By the way, Jairus just dropped a note. He can't make it today. Thank you, Jairus. Sorry.
Thank you, Jairus.
We love Jairus.
We do. He's an excellent producer. He really is.
He helps a lot. He helps a lot on the Discord. He loves the Discord. We like him. He's very passionate. We thank him for his courage and his volunteerism. Just like we thank Heroes. Heroes has a quick announcement or a long announcement. Let's turn the floor over to Heroes because he's working hard for the Fakeologist theme.
You bet. I'll give you a little peek, a little hook. And then I want to tell you the shitstorm that I started last night, just so that later after you get off this, you can go to Zammypup on Instagram and you can, spend a lot of time. If you really want to see the black versus white debate, just go to the comments of the video I posted last night at 8 p.m.
Well, hold on. Let's start at the beginning. Is Zammypup, is he white or black? I mean,
he's biracial. He's half white, half black. Yes.
Oh, great.
And because I noted he was half black to some black accosters, verbal accosters, that then got posted to a board out there somewhere.
You can't say that, I guess. You can't be half
Rick,
black.
Rick, remember you said I should wipe my bum with my dog?
What I've noticed with the riots and the protests, at least from where I'm at,
it's mostly white people that are protesting.
Oh, let me address that. So,
of course it is.
Let me just give you a little bit of backstory. So 2 weeks ago, I think you guys know that I had some eye surgery. And so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there was like 10-day period where I just couldn't read anything. Hard to believe, I know, because I try to be prolific in posting, but I had a very difficult time reading anything on my phone and for about 10 days because of the eye drops I had to put in. It just blurred everything. So I posted with Zammypup. He has 150,000 followers, and I try to bring a daily dose of joy to the world because he's a children's therapy dog. It's all rated G. and people worldwide. I had a woman tell me that she didn't commit suicide because she came upon Zammy Pup, and she just binge watched all the videos and just decided not to. So, I mean, that's the impact that this dog, this biracial dog has. So I posted on Tuesday a video that I had posted several times before, but I also put an apology in there saying, hey, for you long-term, you know, followers, I'm sorry you're seeing previous content, but I just can't get out to see the kids anymore. Because of this COVID, I didn't say nonsense. You know, I don't conspirize in Zammy Pup. So then I started getting all these DMs from people because I dared post Blackout Tuesday. And I would respond back to people saying, guys, I didn't even know Blackout Tuesday existed. And so then you talk about the swarms you see on TV of the riots. Think about that on little old me in the comments section in the DMs.
You're not that innocent.
Once somebody put that in the Ab, that I fight back, right? So,
a fighter. I don't want to get on your bad side. I have to be careful.
So I finally decided, fuck it, after this one dude who I cannot even, you know, from a grammar standpoint, I can't even mock him because it was so bad. But the gist of it was, you know, part of it, the last sentence was, fuck yourself, Y-E-R, go fuck yourself and go fuck your dogs. And so I'm like, okay, now you cross the line, you little cocksucker. So I decided I would make a video.
It goes the ratings on this audio.
I'm sorry. Can you edit that out?
No, we'd have to doesn't edit.
We'd have to edit Rollo out first, and then you.
I'm going to get dumped out, bro.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
So I made a 15-minute video last night. And it starts out with me looking into the camera, and it says, I am racist. And the words come up. And then I spread hate. And because people kept saying that that's what I did by not posting, you know, on Blackout.
Is that the first time you've been on camera?
Besides
your leg?
And how great is it that the first time is after my eye surgery to where I still look like I've been 5 rounds with Mike.
What eye surgery did you have? LASIK? Where
what I've wondered about when it comes to people like reacting in such an emotionally charged way, you know, I've gone through, you know, going through like the Darwin's, all of his various hoax theories, but after looking at the emotional nature of humans, maybe he wasn't so wrong after all, you know, in a lot of respects.
You're talking about Charles Darwin here.
No, there's a different theory for this, guys, and I think it's closer to the NPC theory. It's people are programmed.
Yeah, this is where I was going with that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what I was implying.
In my video, you'll see if you choose to watch it.
Where is it?
It's on Zammy Pup. It's on Zammy Pup on Instagram. Mm. And in there,
I gotta find that.
I say, hey, I went into the direct messages, and 95% of the vitriol came, and I went to each one's profile to block them. Came from a white girl. A white person. So I added this video. I don't know if you guys have seen it floating around of this girl kind of dressed goth, and she and her friend are trying to get the perfect video for her Instagram to where she's holding up this Black Lives Matter. And it's just like nauseating when you see it. Like, and I'm like, oh, so the support from a white person like this is worth way more than my non-response. Well, my non-response is not consent, by the way. It never is.
And I said,
you know, it's June. I cannot tell you how many times I have responded to someone in the LGBTQ community who asked me
who asked me
to put a rainbow over Zammy's profile, and I politely declined because I don't want to do anything that's not Zammy in here. This is a safe place for people to come to where they don't have to be reminded about everything else in this world. Turn on your TV. And man, oh man, guys, did they come out of the woodwork overnight. It is just, and if you go look at the comments now, you won't even see them because I have deleted so many. But right now, it's like.
Can you drop a link so we can look real quick?
I would suggest not deleting, censoring. Just once you say something, you've got to own it. If you're going to be spicy,
absolutely,
you've got to own it. Yeah. You've got to own what you say. Like, I've said the N-word. Look, I won't say it now because it will probably be taken out of context. But I've said it many times. And I've got no problem with black people. And I think black lives matter like white lives matter. Yeah, but these corporations, hey, like Lego or whatever, they don't mean what they say. They're hypocrites.
My name is Todd.
I've noticed too,
am a racist.
Here's the thing I've noticed.
I also
too
understand
people.
That. Oh, you found it. I spread hate or something. I think that'll make sense to you by the end of this video. I want you to watch the whole thing. Do you promise? By the way, this is Zammy the Giant Sheepadoodle. You can find him on Instagram at ZammyPup. You're probably watching it on Instagram right now because that's where I'm putting this. But anyway, he's a children's therapy dog. He spreads lots of joy. Let me show you.
That's about a minute. You can fast forward.
That's really good. I like that. You do good work.
Thank you.
Did you make that yourself, the video?
I did. I make everything myself.
Good for you. That's real good.
What video software?
15 minutes. That's 15 minutes, by the way. That's a little big video.
What video software do you use?
Well, something I wanted to say about in regards to
go ahead.
People and sincerity in general, it's not just the corporations that are insincere. I find that most people in general are insincere because you'll see them lie about anything for any number of reasons. Well, there is no reason. They just lie for just the purpose of lying sometimes. Mm. And I've noticed that about a lot of people, most people even, that they take so many things for granted that they lie for the sake of lying. You know what I mean? Have you guys noticed that by any chance?
What's the difference between insincerity and disingenuousness?
Well, now you're mincing. Now you're semantics there. I have to look both of those.
Yeah, I
know.
I'm being a little bit rude on
it. I have to think about that. I'm not really sure right now.
Well, you're only 20. I don't think you can be sure about anything, but you do very well.
Was it Rick? Did you say? Oh,
hold on.
Here we go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
There you go.
Big shout out to Bella said. Hoaxsyndicate.com. Bella said did that bumper.
Rollo, shut up.
All right. Okay, mate.
Who was it that said that own it?
You're Rollo.
Rollo. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, because usually what I do is let
video. Get closer to the mic, heroes.
Thank you.
Is this better?
Well, you got away from the mic. You were fine and you fell away.
Am I on now?
You're still on, but just get closer to the mic. That's all we're saying.
I have earbuds, so that's kind of hard. Let me reconnect.
I use
earbuds too, so they can be.
Yours are good, Rick. Tonight, yours are really clear. Yeah, good.
Excellent. What about me? Am I nice and clear?
Yes, as you.
Always, you're always.
Thank
loud.
You, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
The only thing I did is I clicked off of the live stream and went into the show notes. Am I better now or no?
No. You're still far away. I can hear you. I just want you to be better, but go ahead.
I listen to audio like you do all the time, and when it gets like this, not good.
That's better.
Well, first of all, nobody should be using a microphone that's stuck on a wire in their earbuds. That microphone costs 3 cents in China to make, and that's the quality you get. So just be aware.
These are the good ones from Apple.
I know. You need a boom microphone that's in front of your mouth so it can completely absorb all the COVID in your system and then produce the audio. If the microphone is hanging below your mouth, sound travels directionally. So it goes straight out from you and attacks the person in front of you. Just so you know.
Great sense of humor,
right? Hey, Ab. I think that I'm going to try to figure a way legally where I don't have to do that, you know, where I can board a plane without a boom mic.
I know you're working on it. But everyone should have a headset. And how am I sounding? Am I sounding okay?
You sound perfect.
Because that's why I have a headset with a boom mic in front of me. Do not use the microphone and the wire hanging from your earbuds. It does not work well enough. I don't care how much Apple charges you for that 30-cent Chinese piece of crap.
$45 Australia.
Well, then, you know.
Well, Rick, I'm on hands-free. Are you hands-free at the moment? Like,
Yeah.
All right, is this better?
That's better.
Better. Okay,
no,
anyway.
Go ahead.
Then I'm calling back in, because it must be the case.
How's that? Let's get back to Sean. You're only 20 years old. You're so young. How do you know so much? Are you sure you're only 20?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm only 20. I don't really know how I know so much. I've always been different as a kid. I can tell you, I started looking into conspiracy culture, if you will.
Yeah,
it started with Alex Jones, and I would like watch him at school in high school when we had the computers.
Turn the frogs gay.
Yeah, we're gonna turn the freaking frogs gay. I was watching him in like I want to say 2016, 2017. I was either 16 or 17 because I'm as old as this century's, you know, like when it's 2020, I'm going to be 20. Next year, I'll be 21. So
that's cool.
I don't know. I've always noticed that people kind of all act the same as a kid. And then I guess it just like intuitively, I've always been a little bit rebellious as a kid. Mm-hmm. I think that's just really what it is. I felt intuitively that I was being lied to, and it just led me down.
Down to the pointy end of conspiracy theory where psychologist.com is. We're the pointiest of the pointiest. There's no more pointy than
a good
joint.
A good
anoint my brow, anointy.
Yeah.
Remember that, Rick?
Yeah, I do.
This is a good segue to FakoTube, guys. Ab, do I sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to let, after our last call and in the announcement of FakoTube, I was just looking at FakoTube, how it visually looked. And then I'm like trying to, you know, it'll look fine in the URL where it's just text. But I'm like, to visually see it, it's kind of, because you have two vowels together, E and O, it's just kind of visually difficult. So I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? Here's how I can contribute to the cause. I have access to some really, really high-quality logo creators, and let me commission a logo creation on this. And this is a direction, right or wrong, and understand everything that I say and everything that you see is just a swing of the bat. It could be really horseshit visually to you, and if it is, please say something. The whole concept could be Ab. It could be against what you your vision was. I don't care. This was not that huge of investment for me. So
you're trying to help. You're trying to help. I appreciate it.
I'm trying to help.
I think we all do. We all appreciate it. We all appreciate
you're,
it.
You're quarter Irish. Well, so,
okay. I have another question also, if you guys don't mind. Is it possible? Is it at all possible? And I'm not implying this is true at all, but is it at all possible that some species of animals that we see on TV don't exist?
But, that's
I don't know. Let's take that up right after Faco 2.
Right after.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
Let me finish this so everyone can vote. I started thinking about this conspiracy realm and especially ecology, and I'm like, Faco 2. I kept saying it out loud, and then I'm like kind of sounds a little Irish. And then I started thinking about, man, wouldn't it be cool if we kind of manufactured a story that there's a bar out there called Faco Tube, where it's O apostrophe tube, and it had an Irish feel to it. And then that made me think of, hey, five-leaf clovers are fake as fuck. How about a five-leaf clover being our Nike swoosh? And so with that as context, I'm going to upload the building.
Come on, get closer to the mic. Get closer to the mic.
Closer to the mic. By the way, does anyone here think that Heroes needs his own show?
I think so. Well,
Heroes needs his own show. And I'm going to run it at 1.2, by the way, Heroes. No offense, but you got to get to the point as fast as possible. You are talking to the millennials or whatever you want to call this generation. You got to talk fast. Otherwise, your audience will just start going to ZambiTube.
That's
Instagram. Okay. On Instagram.
Take a look at the show notes, yeah. Guys. You're walking up to our building.
Okay, show notes. Okay, where are we here? Show notes. Let me look. Hold on. We're going to get some big... Oh, I like that. That. That's very cute. What's behind there? Is that a school or what is the background?
I don't know, but let me show you all of the creative so that you can see.
I like that. A five-leaf clover, Faco 2. Very nice.
So let me give you the full...
We're going to vote. Everyone's going to vote.
I'm going to...
We should put it on Zammy's channel and get the racist dog owners to vote.
It's going to upload them all.
Okay, here they come.
I'm just going to say to Sean S., have you seen a platypus before? And they are prevalent where I live. And they are complete. They look like God went, I've got some leftover bits. I'm going to stick them all together. And I swear to God, if you've ever seen a platypus, what you just said before, do you think that some creatures don't exist? Check out a platypus. And they
have you ever planted a puss? Have you ever planted one?
I've heard that before, just very obscure topic, yeah. But the first animal that came up was, the platypus and platypi.
Oh, for
yeah.
Sure, man. The thing looks like it's got a duck-billed face with a beaver's body. And about, there's about four animals in that kind of thing. And where I live,
They're awesome creatures. They're awesome creatures. Yeah. What about Ab? How many times have you met a moose? Have you ever met one?
I've seen a couple on the side of the road as I was traveling quickly down the highway. I have seen them. They're big as trucks. Yeah, you don't want to hit a moose.
Some people also say, now I'm not saying this, you know, but some people also say that, you know, monkeys are actually men in gorilla suits, but I think
I've seen orangutans in real life.
Yeah,
but I think everything is fake, man.
Right, but right. I think that they faked some footage in the past.
Name an animal do you think's fake?
I can't say concretely. I was just pondering the question.
You've been a platypus.
Hey, Rick, when I was in New Zealand last,
yes.
There were so many deer because they eat deer over there. And
absolutely.
Give me an animal that's native New Zealand apart from a kiwi.
The kia, the bird that can open cans up with its beak.
We know that they lied about dinosaurs, and I mean.
Well, they definitely lied about dinosaurs. There's no two ways about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any other?
Well, if you can think of an animal that you've seen on TV that you think's fake, go.
Yeah,
for
I'm
it.
Trying to. Well, I'm trying to think,
yeah.
but I'm trying we, to think.
We,
what about
unfortunately,
prehistory?
Unfortunately,
well,
platypus, where I live, are a thing, and they do not look real at all. But they're obviously real because.
But they are real.
Fucking
it's like the great white sharks. I mean, do you remember in Australia, Rick, when Steven Spielberg did a movie called The Book by Peter Benchley?
Jaws.
And then they netted up Australia's beaches, and it killed so much wildlife.
Yeah.
And because sharks don't even really want to eat humans. They really don't. Yeah. Steven Spielberg...
But they
it caused the death.
Oh yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that's believable.
Remember when Robert Shaw was like, what do they call the shark? You know, it was a fake shark. You could see it was fake teeth and whatnot. But sharks are real sharks. You can see them.
I mean,
they're real.
I'm living across the road from a river.
I think sharks are real bull sharks.
They're real bull sharks.
Hey Ab, did you see the rest of the logos?
Hey, dude.
Did you see the rest of the logos?
Ab, eat your breakfast. Finish your breakfast.
Hey, Rana, I'm glad you brought up Jaws.
Yeah, all fast value. Good to hear, brother.
Hey,
yeah.
Henry Thor?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Jaws.
You got your act in your hands?
Let's leave the X.
Too loud, mate. Turn it down.
Too loud. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
So,
big chink to Chris Kendall. Big chink. Ready? We're going to do it together. That's with Chris Kendall.
Yes,
because you're good friends with that guy. Yeah,
and he can play guitar.
I'm sure he's touched.
Zach Wild, where are you, Zach Wild? Where are you? Is he here, Zach?
Well, you brought up Jaws and Steven Spielberg, and I point this out from time to time that movie had a huge effect on tourism. And the killing of sharks and stuff.
You're too loud, man. You're
still too loud, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Still too loud. Yeah. Just a tiny little bit.
Okay, hold on.
No, about half.
You're right, mate. You're right.
Half.
How's this? Is this better?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. No, but you brought up Jaws and Steven Spielberg, and I'd like to point this out, that had a huge effect on tourism. And there were a lot of beaches and people that wouldn't swim for a while after that, and a lot of people were going out and killing sharks and stuff. And
it affected me. I don't go over when I go to the beach. I'm terrified still from because I was 10 years old when I watched that movie. Mm-hmm.
And that was
starving.
That was known fiction. It wasn't even like fake news, but it just. I always like to use that as an example of how powerful the media is to influence behavior, even a fictional movie like that.
Absolutely.
So when we get into stuff that's presented as real, you can just imagine the difference when people accept, like, you know, but everybody's wearing masks now from the influence of the media, you know.
Oh, another thing about the masks, and this could just be like, it could mean nothing, but I've just thought about this. Is there a correlation to this? Masks, what do we see the first thing when we're born? We see a doctor wearing a mask, right? Is there a correlation to that? Like a
yeah, it could be absolutely
subconscious.
That's a great point. That's a great point. To have home birth in Australia, to have home birth, how much it costs to medicalize childbirth is ridiculous. I mean,
mm-hmm. absolutely,
yeah, you shouldn't have to do it. But the allopathic medical system has. Taken over, yeah. And...
Rollo, you're getting too loud now.
Oh, I might be.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, mate. So the allopathic medical system, you've got to be careful. All right, doctors can be dangerous, but then, you just got to get the good ones. But anyway, keep going.
Third leading cause of death, officially.
Go again?
What was that?
Allopathic medicine on the books officially is recognized as the third leading cause of death behind heart disease.
Yeah, in America, the death rate of is up from 250 to 400,000 people a year die from medical negligence in America.
Yeah, and therefore by default, because more people are visiting hospitals and, you know, healthcare services seem to be the number one contributor of death. So by default, more people visiting hospitals, more deaths.
Let me correct you. By default, that means another $3 trillion of reparations to the people of color community. Mm-hmm. That was a joke, guys. Sarcasm.
Yeah, you're right. No, sarcasm's okay. I had a great day today, and and my mother-in-law, who I love, she's going to get stents put in her legs next week. Jeez. And she's still going to take the flu shot. The flu shot.
Oh, God.
Would you believe it? And the damage it did to her. And I went, like, it turned you bloody yellow. You know, and eyes went yellow. And I went, no, stop doing this. Huh? There you go.
Good programming.
It's just crazy, isn't it? Some people think that flu shot's good for you.
I've talked to a lot of my family about vaccines because, believe it or not, mm-hmm. people do seem to be waking up, and when I mean waking up, I mean to the very surface level of starting to realize that indeed the media is lying to them, right? So I've been talking to my family about it, and vaccines, that's another thing. The indoctrination with that is just so deep, at least over here in the United States. People that are nice and usually just very chill, calm people, when you bring stuff like this up to them...
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
All right, a big shout out to Getty Lee, Alec Weissman, and Neil Peart, who's unfortunately passed away. Yeah, back to you guys.
All right, I was just saying, people get really pissed off when you bring these topics up, like, they'll go from super nice to irate in a matter of 2 seconds, and there's no appeal to reason. My thing is, I'm just so above that level of indoctrination by now. It's just like, it's a baby. It's like baby hoaxes and baby lies. And I just cannot, I'm not on the same level. I can't relate. I can't empathize with a lot of people. Even though I was there at one point, it's just hard to see how they see the world now. You know what I mean?
Rick, how do you see the world?
I don't really know how I see the world, to be honest.
No, I was asking esoteric.
Me, how I see the world? I see the world as exactly the way I did 40 years ago when I got woken up to read Carol Quigley's books back in the early 80s. And the whole technocracy is now a thing. So we're in a we're being forced into a technocratic Orwellian slash.
Well, do you think, my question is, because I'm not even sure anymore, and I say anymore, I'm not sure if things like CIA assassinations are real or.
I guarantee you, if you are making enough waves, you go.
I know people, listen,
the guy that got me into this, his friend was the guy that was telling me stuff that he'd been a courier for the IMF, right, which is the International Monetary Fund. He got hit by a car about a week after telling this guy the stuff and, like, you know, on a very quiet road, killed by a car as he was crossing the road. And this is in New Zealand. There's been plenty of whacks in New Zealand, I guarantee you now. And certainly,
I believe I've heard you speculate that this is what happened to Chris Kendall.
Oh, I think absolutely. Well, if he has died by bleeding out in his garage, he was whacked for sure. Because he was the most effective of all the psychologist, because he really, I mean, he was the one that rang up the New York Jet Index years later and got the statistics he had 600 people died, the same statistic, whatever. He was a very effective truther.
He was fantastic. What he used to do,
He also had a way of speaking about these things that I want to say appealed to normal people in a way.
Absolutely. He was the guy that got me into this whole thing. I communicated to him for a long time. I sent him music and stuff, and he used my music on a number of his shows that I'd sent him, because we had a music kind of connection, because he was into kind of punk. He liked punk music, and I was around the same time as that kind of stuff came out, and he's about a couple of years younger than me, but I definitely think he's a genuine person. His voice was the best voice.
He was up there with Ron Laws's voice.
Absolutely.
His voice is up there with John Laws,
So I'm there that people get, if you, like the guy that was about, there's a movie called The Grey State, I think it's called The Grey State, and he committed suicide and killed his whole family and his dog just before the movie came out.
You're not allowed to say suicide on YouTube anymore. We're not on YouTube now. They had to say self-deletion,
The guy that was doing the movie The Grey State that died by killing his whole family and his dog. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, man, who kills their own dog? I mean, it's like, if you've got a dog as a pet, you don't go and whack him, you know what I mean? It's like, and that's a very interesting story.
That's why John Wick is such a great film.
It's just like, who goes into a school and shoots up innocent kids? It's nobody
they
does
don't.
That.
Well,
yeah,
they don't,
everybody
they,
does
no,
that.
They don't do that. They don't do that, but there's a story that will... But as far as, if you're shutting down a guy that's telling truth, which I believe definitely happens. And I'm looking at now my bookshelf, and I've got about 10 books on people that aren't around anymore that were telling truth. And so they're not publishing, they're not talking, they're gone, as far as I can see.
Do you remember when Michael Moore, Rick, interviewed Charlton Heston from My Cold Dead Hands? Bowling for Columbine.
He was a fake truther, 100%. Fake truther.
I've got to admit, when I clapped at the end of Fahrenheit 9/11, remember?
Yeah, but what did he say?
Bullshit? Yeah.
No, It's
bullshit.
Yeah. Well,
does this also go so far as, does it extend also to like people who don't reveal their identity, like just usernames on YouTube? Let's say that, I mean, you can't verify that they die. You can, but does this?
Well, Chris Kendall's the best example so far of someone that I suspect was a real person, and he's now, as far as I can see, definitely not.
And the crazy thing is, you know, you could be absolutely right, because let's say that did happen. I mean, do you think his family is on the same page as we
are
about this stuff?
Yeah, they tried to, there was a whole stack of them tried to gum on the face, on the Fakeologist, and got shut down a bit. And disappeared. Yeah, and so his sister said, first of all, she said suicide. Jay Dyer, who is probably the biggest of his,
yeah, the boiler room guy, yeah, boiler room.
Yeah, he said suicide, and
Boyd thing. I mean, well, we're going back to George Floyd, and then we're going to go back to COVID, right? COVID-19. Yeah, I know that
this people get shut. I think people get shut down if you really are upsetting the curve of the you know, what's being said. And I'll have a look here. I've got several books by people that are not there anymore that publish some fantastic stuff. Jim Keith, right? Jim Keith, Keith's book, An Alternative 3. Got it right.
Jim Keith.
He died very mysteriously. His book, and I know for a fact some of the stuff he brought up, it was called the Kiwi Gem, the Gemstone File. And what it did is it named people that were involved. And I don't know where he got his information from. It was some guy that was a barman where CIA operatives drank. And he listened to their stories, and he published this book called the Gemstone File. And in, he published a thing called the Kiwi Gemstone File, where he named prime ministers and politicians in Australia. And I know through a very good friend of mine who was involved with all that stuff that most of what he said was true. So, they'll whack. You can get whacked.
Look, I've been to New Zealand plenty of times. I mean, were you brought up in the South Island or the North Island? The North, near Rotorua.
In that vicinity.
Yeah, where it stinks, and because of all God, unbelievable.
But people think, you know, everything is fake. You've got to watch it. The everything is fake thing is not right, because if you've ever been on
There's no fear porn here. We're not doing fear porn or anything.
What I'm saying is that they've been running tests on humanity for many, many years, and getting psychiatric centres to run tests on subjects that they've got locked up in their wards. They're doing tests on them. They're finding out how they can break the human spirit. These things have been, I believe, are definitely happening. And I definitely think you can get whacked.
But when it comes to things, I think it's hard to make people understand this, but when you see something on the news is making a claim that X, Y, or Z happened.
Can you just turn... Have you got a soundboard in front of you?
Yeah,
no,
I do.
Turn your mic down
just a
little bit.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Just try to...
It's okay. I'm not trying to piss you off, mate. You're from Florida, yeah. Look.
He sounds good to me from my end.
All right, take two. What were you going to say? I didn't mean to knock the thought out of your mind.
Oh, it's just that when something comes on the news is making a claim that X, Y, or Z happened. And the burden of proof is on the news to prove to us with the evidence they provide that what they're telling us actually did happen. So it's not so much as saying things are fake. It's like, well, you're making a claim that this happened, and the evidence you're providing for this story is very weak.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold water, so it's not
what,
like everything is fake. It's just that your story you're presenting us doesn't hold water.
It's about what compels us to have faith in these stories. What compels us to have faith in these stories?
Well, it's the authority of the news. People believe what they see on the news because it's on the news.
Look at Walter's programming.
This goes back into what you said earlier about people going from 0 to 60 and their emotional level. The authority figures are they're like surrogate parents for people now.
Mm-hmm.
The government,
mm-hmm.
the news are their parents. So when you talk about that as being fake, you're talking about their family. You're insulting their parents. So that's
I've seen it with my own family. They hold these sacred cows, and this is their life. This is their religion. I mean, I've seen it firsthand because I was raised a liberal. You know, I had pretty much all of my family is a liberal, and you know, I know dual party system is bullshit anyway. But if I had to pick a lesser evil, I'd probably choose to be Republican if I had to choose. You know,
but you're not a social justice warrior, Sean. Are you?
No.
But we, here in Australia, liberal, you know, liberal is actually right wing. We have Labour Party.
Yes, they've done the Biden switch on us, for sure.
Interesting. Oh, they did, didn't they?
Liberal to us is right wing.
Hey, guys. It's also like how Republican and Democrat Party was the opposite, or it's been flipped and switched than what it used to be during the 1800s. It's like, I think over the course of every few generations or so, they just flipped the script, and I think we're in the transitional phase of the world changing once again.
Yeah, well, look, like, I'm 100% with Crow 777. He said COVID is C Ovid. Ovid was a Greek philosopher who wrote a book called Metamorphosis, and he used all the old legends of the past to explain, and I'm with him 100% with that, because we are being,
another aspect is, do you know anybody that really knows the name of their great-great-great-grandfather?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Not great-great-great-great, that's for sure. But certainly great-great.
I mean, hey guys, the entire world
check out the show notes, just because I want you guys to see a picture that just kind of speaks to everything you're talking about. It's my last picture I posted.
Where's it at?
Show notes.
Okay.
Show notes.
Yeah, I'll be late. Yeah.
Now, I'll say this before I go tonight, after we go through that. The greatest truth I've heard in the last few weeks, or and I do certainly flood about, but the Ed Offerman show, he interviewed he was the guy, I mean, he did an event, he actually was involved with the Epstein case, and there was a beautiful German female girl that he was knocking off left, right, and centre, I would say, because she was very attractive, who was a Mossad operative. She is behind the app that goes into iPhone and Samsung that automatically turns your phone into a trace and track device.
Okay.
She was pushing that 3 years ago, and Epstein had Bill Gates on his plane. I shared this 5 years ago when I first saw the who was on his plane stuff, including John Cleese was also in Epstein's phone number list.
Really?
Interestingly. Mm. But it could have been just someone he knew. But this girl, she's German. She's very attractive, blonde. I forget her name. And if I mention her name, Fakeologist will probably get taken down, because the Offerman report got taken down, or they're trying to take.
Well, remember when I lost my internet? When I said
yes,
the woman with the sand in her vagina,
sand in her vagina. Yep, you're right.
And
she was the girl.
And the second I typed that,
That what was her name?
YouTube,
remember?
The girl who owns YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, this girl was a Epstein regular, a very close friend of him, constantly photographed with him. And she is also linked with Mossad. And she is what she's lobbying for, and she is the owner of, is the app that is a track and trace app. She was doing that 5 years ago, right? So this is a pre-planned, organized operation, 100%. And Offerman reckons that he has never seen so much censorship come towards him after he did the interview with the girl or guy that exposed this particular person for being a link with the Bill Gates and...
It's just awful, isn't it, that we can't do international flights anymore. I mean, how many people have lost their jobs and... it's got to be more and more and more and more. And
I was just going to ask, do you guys even think that Epstein, the whole conspiracy as a whole, was real or not?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know.
I do.
Well, I followed it for 5 years, five long years, and he was, whoever he was, his cover or whatever he was. I mean, he spelled his name differently. When he wrote his name on, I've got a picture of him writing his name on a blackboard when he was teaching at a prestigious college in New York, and he spelled it E-P-S-T-I-N-E. He didn't spell it Epstein. It was spelled...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a bit of a sign that he was obviously... He was a cover. He was a lifetime actor.
I feel he's like Building 7 in a way, to where he's like, he opens you up to the truth, but he's also a gatekeeper in many ways.
But you got to remember that these people were real. I mean, the amount of photos of him with various people are pretty genuine, I would say.
And the fact that
he had Stephen Hawking, he had Bill Gates, he had the creator of The Simpsons, he had all those people with him. And Bill Gates went out of his way to say, oh, he was just a guy I was doing business with. That's what he said. He was just a guy I was doing business with. And when you find out that this beautiful chick, because Epstein's obviously had a sex addiction, and he was basically Mossad used people, look at their logo by way of deception. That's Mossad's logo, by way of deception. They get their way by pretending...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Psyopticon, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
.com.
Big shout out to Psyopticon there.
Yeah. So I think the Epstein thing was a real thing, whether he was actually... I think he was a lifetime actor, as Joe Atwell coined the phrase. And he was pretending, he was running an operation to bribe big wigs of, Stephen Hawking, those photos of Hawking on this island.
Do you remember Tom Dalper lived in, Rick? When Tom Dalper met him.
Rick, let me
Yeah, Cambridge. Could still be alive then? I think he could be, I don't know. But I think he could still be alive.
Just to call your attention, I just dropped 3 podcasts in the show notes from this girl, Whitney Webb. I don't know if you guys have heard of her.
Sorry to cut in again. Can you turn your mic up? Just a tiny... Oh, does he? Okay, fine. Yeah, keep going.
It's too hard. It's too soft. What is it?
No, you sound good. Everything.
Keep going.
Whitney Webb has done a really deep dive and... to the Epstein. I found it really fascinating. I listened to 2 podcasts today, and she talks really fast, and she's got all the facts at her fingertips as a young girl, and I'd classify it as what we call real journalism, but obviously something you'll never hear on the mainstream, and the connections that Epstein had and his whole background from the time that he was hired by William Barr's father
That's right. School with no college degree, and then he was hired shortly thereafter by Bear Stearns to run some investment thing with no experience and that sort of thing. I mean, he's been a total plant, evidently, from the whole time. So I would consider him a construct, but I think...
He's what they call the lifetime actor. He's a lifetime
compromised people.
Well, do you think he could have also played the role of... Could he have also been a test in a way, sort of, to release this story out to the public when it's everybody knows about the conspiracies. It's a pretty mainstream conspiracy. Was it a test to see how the general public would react?
That's the way I look at Snowden, right? There's somebody that's finding this stuff out and exposing this, and we don't have to worry about it. It's going to get taken care of.
Yeah,
and the pedophilia, somebody's going to take care of that. So
it's like QAnon, trust the plan.
Mm-hmm. Once you see the word gate put in front of anything you see, it's a gate or a tunnel or
it's like Comics Gate, right? Do you remember that?
Well, no, Watergate.
Watergate.
Pizza gate. It's been. Once I've used the term gate on it, that you've been taken down.
So then, let me go back to Fuss. Whitney Webb. Is Whitney Webb knows what she's talking about?
Yeah, I, from what I've heard and just the way she speaks, she's got the familiarity. I don't think anybody could fake that level of detail and knowledge. And, she's done so much background. And what I found really interesting, it's full of names that people probably won't know. They're involved with government and banking and stuff, and there's so much of that kind of power that actually runs things. So when people they go to the polls, I'm going to vote for this guy, but the guy changes every 4 years. But those people don't. They've been around for decades, and they're
of course they have. You're looking at real people that are really doing things, but it's easy to use this bait and switch technique or.
So everybody's going to blame Trump right now for what's going on, and Trump's been 3 years. Oh. But this is a decades-old system of corruption and policy and a plan to...
What's wrong with the guy?
Trump was very close with a guy, was he found dead or whatever, that was a very strong power broker back in New York. And he was his. I find Ed Offerman, because even though he's a socialist, an open socialist, he knows people that were working in New York as, gangsters or PIs or whatever, or ex-detectives.
Socialism is never going to work. It's never going to work.
No, of course not. But,
never going to work.
You get a little bit of the truth from these people. That's why you can never bar any truther. Listen to all of my show, and I do.
What did you say last week? Nathan Stoltman, right? You'd never talk to him again?
Yeah, because he put...
Bait and switch.
He was fantastic.
Bait and switch.
And all of a sudden, he pushed this whole COVID's a real thing. And he pushed it like I've never seen before.
It's like how Alex Jones used to be legitimate and actually touch on real truths, and now all of a sudden he's on the Trump bandwagon. And you see this with Michael Cesarion too. Another one.
Good point. Now, when it comes to Alex Jones, though, I mean, when he interviewed Donald Trump in 2016, right? Why didn't he ask? Why didn't he ask about, 9/11's an inside job? I just think, you got an interview with Donald Trump. Why not ask that question?
Another thing is, with that is, Trump was, I remember this, Trump helped me wake up when I was like 16, because I heard people saying that he was going against the establishment. And I saw, obviously, that the media was seemingly against him. He was talking about, back then, I remember, exposing 9/11 and telling the truth about it. Obviously, that never happened. But, obviously, he was a Trojan horse, in my opinion. But my question is, Do you think they're setting him up right now with this COVID situation? Are they trying to demonize him?
The lefties are trying to take him down. I mean, did you hear the audio when Trump grabbed the woman on the pussy, right? Trump is so powerful.
That's the
good luck to him. Like, he's a puppet on the string. Who's got more power than him? More power than him is Anthony Fauci as heroes.
I know he holds no power, but what I'm asking is, are they going to set him up to be the next, like, Adolf Hitler in the history books now?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Are they trying
to take him out? What are you saying, take him out like JFK, like,
a hoax assassination is possible with Trump.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Honestly, at the moment, anything could happen. There could be an alien invasion.
A fake alien invasion.
Hey, Charlie, your mic is really low.
Pardon me?
No, I think you're talking about Pops. Are you back with Ab? How you doing, mate? You've been busy working, no doubt.
Yep. I just came back.
Can you play Walking on Sunshine? I need a lift.
Please.
For Tom Dalpra.
No, I can't, because Rick doesn't like that, and I'm not going to put on through.
No, I mean, we don't need to hear that.
Come on, Rick, give me a break. Just for Tom Dalpra. All right, Ab, come on, give us Walking on Sunshine, so that we can lift our spirits.
We're part of no, don't you understand?
Going
in?
Take two.
Rallo, you have access to YouTube, right?
It sounds better, Farce. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just listening and chiming in. And I'm curious about this idea that there's real enmity between the blue and the red parties, and that there's this actual sort of headbutting going on, and that behind closed doors they appear the same way they do on camera, and I'm just not convinced that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there really is a left and a right, and people choose sides in America more than many countries, and you're pretty much identified as such, so I don't really
I'm talking about whether Trump and Pelosi are actually at odds. But when the camera's off, they're sitting at a dinner table plotting the next phase of the psyop.
They have more in common with themselves than they do with the general population. Management has more in common with each other than the workers. That's obvious. I work at a company where management sticks together and the workers stick together. There's a left and a right, a top and a bottom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why the elite go to private schools and we go to public schools.
Of course. John, you're pretty smart.
Oh, you sound like Jake Ugas.
Of course! Sean, you're pretty smart for 20 years old. So if you really are 20, and don't take it personally, but we're very skeptical here, you're doing very well. You're going to go a long way in the fakeologist community.
Well, thank you. I don't know if there's really much further to go, but thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Are you in the Masons, Sean? Are you in the Masons? Are you a 33rd degree Mason?
He's too young to be 30.
No, I've thought about joining. Honestly, mm-hmm. because it is tempting, because I'm starting to think that it really is, life really is as simple as, you know, whoever decides to just join their local lodge, life starts to become easier for them. I think it's that simple.
Do you like sheep?
Do what?
Do you like sheep?
Do I like sheep?
Yeah. You might have to meet a sheep as part of the initiation. I can't say for sure, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, I think you could maybe cozy up to one for a while, and then you're in. You're in like Flint.
I don't know how it works.
Ab, remember when you went to the, did you go to that lodge? You went to that Masonic lodge. And you went, Tell us about that, you know, the checkerboard floor and whatnot. I'm not a Mason, so, yeah. Tell us a little
before
bit more.
Before Marcus, I had never really heard about the Masons in any meaningful way. Marcus was the one that, I think that's the first thing he asked me, are you a Mason? It's not as obvious in Canada as it is, I guess, in the United States. But if you want to be any, get ahead, you need to join some kind of brotherhood, fraternity, club, union. That's just the way humans work. We work in gangs or social units. Yeah, you can
make mob mentality. Mob mentality. You're right. Yeah, keep going.
This is how people don't understand how the system works. Like, let's say, for example, I'm an actor. This is what people don't understand about actors as well. Anybody can technically become an actor. I could technically be an actor right now. But that's
Rolo
what I'm
is a bad there. Actor.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going to be the next Brad Pitt, right? I could be an actor that just gets by doing small gigs. Now, let's say, however, I decide to join the Masons. It doesn't matter what profession I'm in, because I have an entire community at my back, I'm going to have immediate success.
Right. I agree. And life is like that. You know, before that, we had what we called families. A family would be a unit. Even if you hated your brother, you know, I don't really, I'll be honest, like he doesn't listen to this podcast. My brother and I are not the best friends, but he did come to my COVID distancing birthday party last week. He was the only one that came. He even dragged his children and his wife, who never comes to my events because I don't think she likes me either, but they all came. Now, the whole point of a family is you stick together and you kind of help each other, even if you're really not the best of friends, because you're family. And that's how society used to work. Even if my daughter marries someone I don't like, if he's going to be in my family because he's married to my daughter, then I'm going to support her first, and by virtue of supporting her, I'm supporting him and their unit. That's how we get stronger. You know, people like the Rockefellers and the Gates, you know, Bill Gates, he might not really like the family business that his dad brought him into, the Planned Parenthood, the eugenicist agenda, but hey, he's the one that got Bill Gates to where he is, and they build upon each other's successes. If you have to start life at zero on every generation, you're never going to get anywhere. The Rockefellers, the Gates, all these elite families, even if they hate each other, they still build upon each other's successes and wealth, and that's how they stay rich. Most of the rich people in the world inherited their money. They didn't do anything.
Well, I think that's the whole point of the agenda.
Now, there's a word called nepotism, right? Nepotism. We all know that word, right?
The whole point of this agenda, Ab, is to divorce people from their history and overturn all that and limit that for everyone but the elites. So you don't have the opportunity to pass down your wealth. We're removing all the iconography, the statues and whatnot. You know, like people were talking, they can't name their great-great-grandfather or whatever. So it's just the constant.
Now we're keeping people divided ad infinitum. This is the most divisive psyop ever. So forget blacks, whites, homosexuals, heterosexuals, Republicans, Democrats. Now it's individuals. You can't go see your own mother. It doesn't matter what political stripe or her way of saying. They are dividing families. Amazing.
Yeah, well,
they're dividing
and
families in their own house.
And another thing is they're emphasizing to stay away from old people. And they are the ones who have witnessed the past and therefore can teach us lessons from the past,
past. Exactly. They can tell you they've seen this movie before. This is how it turns out. It doesn't turn out well unless you stop it.
Like I was saying, how nobody, barely anybody I know can name their great-great-great-grandfather, the world can change in just a matter of decades, and people would be none the wiser. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that these wars, that could be the cause of these mud floods, because it's actually controlled demolition and strategically, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not really into the mud flood idea. I don't think we've had any floods. I think we have psychological floods, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, subversion of history through controlled demolition.
Right. Well, that's just a business. That is a business. Controlled demolition and rebuilding. That is a business just like any other business. Just like when they blow apart all the small businesses now, they know what the plan is for a year from now, so their businesses will take over the plan, they'll be socially distant and do all the things that these small businesses don't even have enough cash flow to do any of that, let alone survive 2 or 3 months of being closed.
Well,
so their businesses will replace all the businesses that are being blown away right now.
Well, and I also see this current PSYOP, you know, it's a controlled demolition of the economy as well, from what I can see.
Controlled demolition of the bottom half of the economy.
Primarily.
All the person-to-person businesses. All Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, Amazon, they're all doing very, very well right now because...
Oh, they're doing better than they've ever done before.
Do you reckon Jeff Bezos is not? Well,
I'm not going to say they're doing well. Like, for instance, I know people that I know people at Costco. Costco, their sales are way off. They're way off. There's nobody in the store right now because they're all lined up outside. And eventually people just get fatigued and say, I'm not lining up. I had to go to Home Depot. The lineup was around the store. We kept driving, not stopping in. So they're not busy in the sense, but at least they have enough assets to stay alive for the few months of this.
But Susan Wojcicki, if Susan Wojcicki,
they give themselves pats on the back all the time. I mean, I don't think we have many corporations. I think there really is little to no competition in the world from what I've looked at personally. What if we just have one huge corporation and that's it? Because based off the occultic symbols that all of these corporations have, they all have, you know what I mean?
That's just more tagging. They tag each other. Yeah, they have the symbolic worship swooshes. They all have the swoosh. I agree with that comment. That's good. Hey, you're really tuning in.
Feel bad for a 20-year-old. I
don't feel bad for a 20-year-old if he understands what's going on. It sounds like Sean knows what's going on. Good on you, mate.
Well, I don't think I know what's going on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Open your eyes.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
Well, it was good. That was a big shout out to Velset. Hoaxsyndicate.com. Yeah. Look, guys, has Rick left us? Is Rick? Are you still there, Rick? Exoteric 64. No,
yeah, sorry. Sorry, man. No, I'm
you're
no,
right,
I'm
mate.
Still here.
Yeah. I can hear. I'm gonna bail soon.
I'm saying tomorrow night we'll talk about whatever we're
all right, Rollo's bailing.
Yeah, I've got the newspapers today.
Excellent.
Do you have the news today, old boy?
Go again? Take two. Ab.
Have you read the news today, old boy?
Rollo, tomorrow night we'll discuss this.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
All right, let's play Rollo out. Take care, Rollo. Thanks for coming by. I think you might like this.
Cheers to Tom Dalbra.
Mailbox.
great. That's Walking with Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. That's a shout out to Tom Delfer. I can't remember what the connection is, but there you go. Rolo got his wish. And who do we got here still on the call? We got Exoteric. We got Farce Value, Rolo, and new member, Sean S. New voice, Sean. Can you remind me how you found us? I'm sorry. How did you get to Fakeologist? Because it's not easy to find.
Well, how did I, like, literally find, like, I just typed in Fakeologist Discord.
Where did you type that?
Just Google.
Okay, let me try that. Oh, now
just,
you make me.
Yeah, I literally
Fakeologist Discord. Let's see what that comes up. Yeah. Okay, we're in the discord.me server.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is the first one that popped up, I believe.
And why did you type Fakeologist Discord into the chat or into the Google?
Well, just because I wanted people to talk to who were on.
No, but what? How did you figure out to do that? That's what I'm trying to get at.
How did I figure out? I just wanted to see if, you know, I just.
No, you're not getting
it. Work, you know.
No, I'm. Where did you get the word psychologist? That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm not being clear.
Oh. Where did I get the word psychologist?
Yes. How did that come into your mind?
Oh, well, I found, I was looking at a lot of Marcus Allen's calls.
Okay.
And I found some of your chats with him.
Okay. How did you find Marcus Allen? Because
through this YouTube channel that re-uploaded a lot of the Hoax Busters calls. And,
Is that Question
there,
Your Reality?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I got
reality.
It. Okay,
yeah,
now it's coming together.
Funny enough, you know, Marcus Allen is, he's the one that got me questioning war and eventually making me realize the war hoax. When he was, his first conversation with Chris Kendall, that kind of triggered Chris about the possibility that they're lying about war. You remember that call?
Okay. Absolutely. That was their last call a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a reunion call. And then now Chris is supposed to be dead. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Any?
I don't know one way or the other. I think he could have been murdered, but I don't know. I just don't know.
No, I don't think we get to know. We don't get to know. That's
yeah.
The thing that stinks about it. We just don't get to know.
I mean, I don't really like how, I like Dave J, but I don't really like how he put out a video about, you know, don't false witness to Chris's death, you know, and he has a point. Don't false witness to anything, but I'm pretty sure the dude is dead. I don't think he's faking his own death, you know. Have you seen that?
I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't. It's very, of course, ourselves. So you came to us via Marcus. That's good. Well, Marcus has been around a long time. That's for sure.
Yeah, 2010, from what I've been able to trace back. It's kind of hard to believe because I was 10 back then.
Will you be joining his country?
I was actually going to bring that up. Do you think his country is going to work?
I don't have a clue. I think it's worth a try. That's a daunting task to build your own country.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, why not give it a shot, in my opinion? I mean, maybe he's onto something. Maybe... You know.
Are you willing to relocate to Pennsylvania? I'm guessing that's where he plans to buy his land.
Maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
It depends because I'll need to look into it more, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's better than, you know, just sitting and talking about this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're young enough. You could be a charter member of the country. You can get right in there.
Yeah, I don't know how his country works.
I'm guessing he's king.
Yeah, I can. But my only question is, like, would it somehow over time through generations lead to the same situation we're in now, if it were to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you kick over an anthill, it always reforms, probably pretty much the way it was before you kicked it over. It's probably the same social hierarchy of ants, just because of the way people are. Do you think that people are born into a certain way, and just because of how they're born, or, for instance, if someone is meant to be king, they just become king, or if someone is in a royal family, they're just destined to do that, or if they're destined to be a truck driver, then they just do that?
I would disagree with that pretty heartily, Ab.
Okay, good. I'm staring you down. Now you're overmodulating.
Oh my gosh!
You're the sound guy today. I'm gonna slap you silly.
I don't know what's wrong. I got all this. I turned it down. How's this?
Oh, a little more. Turn it up now.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
Okay. All right.
Down. Now you're overmodulating.
No. I don't know. I don't have any way of listening to the other end, so that's the problem.
Wait. Down a bit.
Down. Okay.
Just by a touch.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's like judging how animals are. If you look at them in a zoo, we're in this like experiment of public education and media and school and programming. There's no natural humans, unless there's some island somewhere where people haven't been exposed to all this stuff, but we grow up being programmed from the beginning to be a particular way. So it's really hard to say that humans would act a certain way, judging, like, what is the evidence to judge us? We have none. We don't have a control group to see how people act outside of this side, the lifelong side we're immersed in.
Exactly. We don't know what the organic, natural state of a human being is. And the definition, I believe the definition of civilization is the domestication of humans, right?
Right. That is correct.
So essentially, we're just living in the giant's eye, and everything's a lie, and nobody's going to connect the dots because all of the hoaxes are intertwined with each other. So you need to figure out, you know, a multitude of hoaxes to get to a certain hoax, and then you get what I'm saying. It's just we're living. So everything we believe is founded upon a lie on top of the fact that most of us don't know the names of our great, great, great grandfather.
I try to promote the idea of rationality and logic and reversibility when it comes to morality. And that's the biggest problem that we have, the way I see it. The government, these people that identify themselves as a government, have an opposite set of moral imperatives than everyone else. They always have the moral high ground, even though they're acting in a criminal manner, and people accept that because they're government. So, like, you know, Ab always says, well, if we got rid of government, something would fill that vacuum. But I think if people recognized immoral behavior for what it is, no matter what costume it's wearing, we'd be much better off.
Like a natural law sort of idea, as like someone like Mark Passio would say, objective morality.
Sure,
What about the Noahide laws? Isn't that what we're supposed to be getting soon? Is that related at all? I don't even know.
Somebody else go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say. I had all this in my tongue.
You're a good man. Pretty knowledgeable, Farsalia, this guy, for 20.
Yeah, what about your friends, Sean? Do you have any friends that you can talk to about any of this stuff at all?
Yes and no. I mean, in my local area, really no, but I can get along with them. I mean, it's not like I'm socially awkward or anything. I can get along with people, but as far as friends, it's mostly people online I can talk to. Very few on the level in which we're talking.
Right. Yeah. Having a conversation like this in person with someone you haven't experienced.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, the furthest you'll get is like conspiratard level basic.
stuff, you know.
Yeah. I know one person in real life that I can have this discussion with, and my wife to an extent, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a nice wife. We met her. Did you listen to that audio chat, Sean?
Audio chat of what?
Parse Value and his wife. I did an interview with him.
I don't believe so.
Okay, are you familiar? We got to talk business here. Promotion of the site. Are you aware that Fakeologist.com, we have two podcast streams. We have the Fakeologist Show, which is primarily me doing the interviewing with the odd call. And then we have the Fakeologist Audio Chat. Those are two separate audio chat or audio streams, audio feeds that you can bring into your podcast player, whether it be Android or Apple. Are you familiar with those?
I've listened to your podcast before.
Okay, good.
Some through fakeologist.com and some through like Podbay or the other holders, I guess.
I guess. Okay, good. And you're also aware we have fakotube.com, which is my YouTube-like video streaming site where I put all my favorite videos on, mainly ones that are likely to get purged from YouTube. So that's something I've started. Are you familiar with fakotube.com?
I wasn't, but I am now.
Good.
I'll check it out.
Farce Value, I don't think you're registered at FakoTube. If I'm going through, there's no real registration. You just sign up, sign in. And,
do I have to get an app and be tracked and traced over to FakoTube? That'd be awesome.
You don't have to. If you want to comment, you have to be registered, though. But it's quite wide open. You can use any email you want. So it's separate from the Fakeologist.com group of companies or family of track and trace. We're not related to any of that. But take a look at FakoTube.com if you are so inclined.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will. Do I need to become a member or...
No. There's no membership. You just join. You don't even have to join. You can still look at it. It's just like YouTube. There's no logging in if you don't want to comment.
Oh, nice, nice.
Where is this hosted at?
Fakotube.com. I don't know who the host is. I'm paying a host. He says it's somewhere in the U.S. The developer is in Brazil. And not exactly helpful, but he's a little bit helpful. So,
yeah, there is new legislation pending, which reminds me about this. You know, there's the brouhaha with Twitter and Trump, right, where they're going to say the platforms are now news since they're editorializing by censoring and deciding what can be.
That's created. Right. Yeah.
So do you have any ideas about that?
You're either a publisher or you're a platform. And now, since this is a small little video operation, video platform, then I am a publisher. So anything that goes on here, I have to approve in the sense that only certain people can upload to FakoTube, mainly me. But if it's you, I know Farce Value, you can definitely upload once you create an account and I approve it. So I would be a publisher. So I guess in a way I'm sort of the editorializing board in chief of FakoTube.
But so does that subject you to the FCC and some sort of regulation that would allow them to...
I don't think the FCC regulates the internet. The FCC was for open air for the simple reason that if you and I start a broadcast over the air and we both choose the same frequency, then obviously we're going to interfere with each other. I think that was the main purpose of all these regulatory bodies.
There's all type of language restrictions, and they shut people down for content they don't agree with or think is unsanctioned or whatever. So
I don't know who that is. I think YouTube has advertisers that don't want to be associated with certain videos, and I think that is the main governing body when it comes to, say, YouTube.
That's Adam Curry's stance, but I'm very suspicious of that because it just seems to be particularly one-sided from what I've seen.
Yeah. Most
and
Don wants
anything,
to say
anything that that
yeah.
brushes around the truth is going to get banned immediately. So I think it, I don't, and it doesn't leave time for the advertisers
to respond. Or the simulated truth. If they want you to think that 5G towers are melting your balls and David Icke's talking about them, then they're going to delete it and give you the impression that that's true, which I don't think it is, for instance.
Okay.
So it's very complicated. It's not just a simple, that's the truth, we're banning it.
Oh, yeah, and another thing I've noticed with the algorithm is the comment deletion. It's not just comments that spread information like this. It's random so that people don't make the correlation. They make it to where sometimes random videos get deleted as well that have nothing to do with this information, and random comments also get deleted so that normal people will not correlate it with this information.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that as well. So that's just something I've looked at.
Right.
And I think the algorithm is also audio-based to where it picks up on speech, because I've tested it to where...
Oh, the audio-based definitely works, because I uploaded something to YouTube with the Joker soundtrack, and within 1 second it picked it up. Now, I didn't alter the soundtrack in any way, but that's a pretty easy thing for a computer to detect. And
I did it with a video. I uploaded a video on...
Now, hold on. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. All right. Where were we?
Anyway, I was saying I uploaded a video on Unlisted, and I didn't title it, and it had some words that would trigger the algorithm, and it was deleted within, like, very short period of time. So, yeah, it's definitely audio-based, the algorithm, and they probably listen to every word we speak and just try to look out for trigger words. Yeah, and it probably recognizes patterns like what's the most spoken word out of the entire population by humans? What's the most frequently used words? I'm pretty sure the algorithm also picks up on that for social conditioning purposes. Yeah, I mean, definitely seems to be audio-based algorithm, though, in my opinion.
Okay, I agree with that.
Could it go to video-based when it, like, our street cameras, like on stoplights? Do the cameras on stoplights, do they also have, what about the facial recognition stuff? Is that part of this algorithm, too?
On YouTube?
Well, on just in general, like when it comes to Snapchat, like these, I don't know either.
Let's listen to the latest video I put on FakeOTube. Here we go.
75-year-old man gets pushed to the ground.
I put PK video on here because his channel goes up and down. So anytime I have a PK video I like, I'm putting it on.
And bleeding through his ears. I'll just show this. This is absolute garbage. All these cops and no protesters. And this guy, a 75-year-old, just happens to walk up to these two bozos. And it gets a bit of a shove by this guy. It is so feeble. This is all staged. Check this out.
Is that coming through okay, guys?
Video of police
shoving a 75-year-old man
to the ground in Buffalo.
I'll stop it there. Notice he's got his head off the ground. If you've hit the ground and you're ratchet, your head would not be off the ground. It would be on the ground. It's pretty hard to do what he's doing, but he's still got hold of his cell phone. And supposedly he's bleeding from the ear, is he? Keep going.
Hello, New York Thursday quickly went viral and drew wide condemnation.
It quickly went viral all over the... do a search yourself. It's on every mainstream channel, virtually. You know, when they do that, they want you to see this shit.
Social media.
That's true.
So yeah, you just walked up to it. And what's that way you just sort of motion?
By the way, Buffalo's just across the lake from me here.
Absolutely acted. What's he saying to him?
It shows the majority of the officers there.
Look, what's he pointing to? And this guy just pushes it. Look how feeble this is.
They're marched past.
Oh, the other, yeah, he pushes it. He stumbles a few feet. Watch when he falls down. He puts his hands down to, you know, soften the impact. And it just so happens we got a Johnny on the spot. Cameraman just in that spot there. And of course, you know, professional photographer doesn't actually see this guy hit his head on the ground. We can't show that.
After the man,
takes a few steps backwards, puts his hands down, softens the fall. No way, his head hits the ground.
Man.
See how we kick his feet up? But check this out.
And is then seen.
He has his foot crossed. He has his leg crossed. No way, you're going to have your leg crossed like that. And once again, look, his head is off the ground and a bulge, fake blood is starting to come out from somewhere. What do the cops do? They both walk up, you know.
Bleeding.
Look, he bends over. This guy says, no, don't worry about him. Fuck him. You know, there's bad news for the cops lately. Don't help this guy. 75-year-old. We just want more bad news.
Years.
Still got his head off the ground. He says, no, get out of here. I'll handle this myself, he says.
Two officers have been...
No, he pushes him away. He looks around.
Offended without pay.
And he says, no, fuck this. Let's just all ignore him.
Within hours of that video being posted by reporters.
Everyone ignores him. What a fucking lot of shit this is.
From local public radio.
And he just drops his cell phone conveniently. And this bullshit...
Anyway, have you seen that video, Sean? I just paused
No, I have not. I haven't. Who's that by again?
That's a guy named PK. He's an Australian. Australians are some of the most awake people. That's why I like talking to them.
I've noticed that as well. I've watched the old videos of this guy called Jungle Surfer TV.
Yes. I just recently stopped listening to him because he is just rambling. He's one guy. He's all over the map. He's rambling all over.
I liked him for the calling out the missile and rocket hoax, though.
Right. Okay. I'm not saying I don't like him. It's just that lately he just rambles on, and I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I just uploaded it.
I know a lot of people like that who just, they change, you know, they used to have coherent, they used to put their information out coherently and then something changes down the line.
Parsalia, what did you say?
I just uploaded a picture that I came across on Twitter yesterday that had a picture of a suspicious lump on this guy's head and looked like possibly a tube running down the back of his shirt and they're thinking it's fake blood and... This is independent from PK.
Interesting.
Hey, I find a lot of people are starting to look at things a little more closely lately. It's very encouraging to me, actually.
I've noticed that as well.
Nice picture there. That's interesting. Where did you find that?
On Twitter. People were responding to the guy being pushed, and somebody said, I don't know. This looks like it could be fake, you know?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Could this be a setup? I'm going to put that in the post.
Yeah.
Gallon of blood. A bottle of gallon. Gallon of blood. I love it. I love it. This is crazy. Wow, the level of deception is too much. And, you know, if we don't do anything else on this podcast, I don't care if I convince Sean or anyone else, as long as we open your mind to the possibility that all this, or most of it, is being staged, to mold society, then we've done our job. That's enough. I'm happy. If you actually have that in your mind, that you could be watching staged stuff and you're being manipulated like crazy, and if you want to go all the way up to psyops and staged hoaxes, if you're okay with that, then that's great. We've done our job. What say you, Parsalia, and then we'll let Sean say something about that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I wonder, too, if part of this, you know, if there's so many different levels, so part of the thing could be to create a level of confusion where you just don't know anymore what to do. That there's no way...
That is a goal of PSYOPs. That is a goal of PSYOPs, what you just said.
So, and there is that quote, and I posted it before, from, George... Bennett, your former director of the CIA, that we'll know our work is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
Yeah, that was William Casey, I think. William Casey. Bill Casey, yeah.
So
even if he didn't say it, it's a great quote.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to source these things sometimes.
Well, yeah, we don't know. But that he was attributed that. That I've read that ever since they started in the truth business, as it were. It's a great quote. I agree with it. But again, yeah, psyops, if you can't convince, confuse. But confusion is just as effective as convincing. Confusion is perfect. Because most people's headed heads explode and they walk away. They can't deal with it. Now we can deal with it because we're okay with the idea of how it works. I think we're pretty good at it.
I mean, I'm fascinated to witness the level of just internal self-contradiction that's happening right now. But 2 weeks ago, were protesting a lockdown, you were a terrorist and a super spreader and a killer breathing on people. And now doctors and nurses are coming out with, open letters in solidarity with the protesters and saying, yeah, this is more important. So it's okay now. Where it wasn't too, it's just bizarre to me that the turn on a dime level of contradiction that people seem to accept without questioning it.
My question is, and I don't think this is the case, would the extensiveness of the public reaction to these hoaxes be as extreme if this were to happen in the 80s? I don't think so. I think, the increase in our ability to, with the media, our ability to deceive people has gone up. And honestly, I'm not even so sure that the people running the show are even trying. I think this stuff that they're putting out now, I don't think people would have believed it decades ago. I'm starting to think that way.
Well, evidently, Rodney King incident started riots in 1992.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, people that have looked into that, I haven't done it too carefully, but have kind of come up with the idea that was probably a staged event as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So they were capable of doing it back then. I mean, you know, I like to think people were more savvy and less trustful of government back in, 100 years ago, but they still got people to go into world wars. And, you know, marching the machine gun fire at a train, unless you're Dave J, and then he doesn't believe any of that stuff. But I think people, lined up to get on boats and go take up arms against people they had never met. I think they were willing. And, that's what I was talking to my wife last night. I'm like, all these people in the street right now, and with their masks or without their masks or whatever, they can never say anything about Nazis anymore. Let's just put that to bed. We're all done with that. If you think that people were so crazy back then and they were, the Nazis were so terrible because they were just acting and being led by the nose by their controllers, well, you people are doing the same thing now. So just don't ever talk about the Nazis anymore. It's all done.
Well, another thing with that, I think another correlation to make is that, let's say I were to eat a dog here in the United States, people would call me a monster, they would call me disgusting, all kinds of stuff, right? Well, if I were to go do the same thing in China, it would apparently be normal. So then what do we believe? Why do we believe? Why do we believe what we believe? It's handed to us. And if you go back throughout history, as you've said it, objectively speaking, it's always seemed to be like this. Most people just seem to be input-output based creatures, and they get the input from the media and express the output. And by expressing the output in congregation, you have the state of the world. So, yeah.
And the output is there for them to begin with anyway. So I don't even know why they bother. Because it's bizarre to me too. I just get so many reposts. Like I look into my Facebook just to keep an eye on people that I know that are real, and where their head is, and they're just reposting stuff that the mainstream media has already put out there. Like it's like, why even be the middleman? You're not.
Well, and this gets me back to the NPC question. Like, is there, like on a biological level, okay, is there something? I don't want to dehumanize people, but what is going on? Why can we question things, but the vast majority of people cannot?
That is the question. I know why they don't. I don't know why we do. And I'm really curious about that, where I'm concerned. I don't know how. I do remember when the first time I started to get into this, when somebody told me that Abe Lincoln was a bum, and he was a lawyer for the railroads, and he was a conniver, and I was shocked. I felt like I'd been slapped across the face. I was really offended. But then I kind of started looking into it, and I don't know if you're familiar with Thomas DiLorenzo, but he's done all this biographical work on Abe Lincoln that exposes this whole other side of him, because most of the biographies of our mythology characters are hagiographies. They're worshipful, you know, they're saints.
Oh, yeah.
And they're treated.
Yeah.
So occasionally you get real stories, but then I started looking into this stuff. But the reason people, they won't accept it, and I think even a baby hoax, I think they have an intuition that if that unravels, that little piece of their reality turns out to be false, it's like pulling the thread on a sweater. They can sort of sense that the whole thing is going to unravel.
And that's why, dude, because I've woken many people up on, well, not many people, but some people up on various different topics, but with some topics, I'll present the information, and then they'll ignore what I have to say because they understand that the information is true, and they don't want to look at it anymore because it's a subconscious thing, seemingly. And I know that the mind, or at least psychology tells us that the mind is compartmentalized. 90% of what we think is subconscious, and the mind is compartmentalized. And the ego has defense mechanisms, inherent defense mechanisms that prevent certain belief systems from crashing too fastly. That's what psychologists tells us. Psychologists
too quickly. I don't think fastly is a word, but a good try.
Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. Well, that does leave room for some sort of optimism, I guess. That, you know, they're doing things in their own time, maybe. Maybe, you know, you sow the seeds and move on, and people will say, that struck me as strange. Maybe I'll look into this. And
maybe
they're ready for it one day, and a few days later there might be or something. I don't know.
Well, and here's another thing I've noticed, okay? And this makes sense because even I occasionally question my own sanity, because how can you not when the all of your surroundings are in opposition to your belief system? Everybody around you is. But, another thing is sometimes I've been able to convince people, you can just see it in their eyes, about a certain topic when you're in a room with them alone. But then once they go back out into the quote real world, they revert back into their original belief system because of the repetition of people reinforcing said idea.
It reminds me of sales. You know, I've been in certain situations where we've sold things in the past, cars, condominiums, and like if a couple comes in, they want to split them up. So they, you know, they'll talk to the wife over here and show her this part of the place, talk to the husband. So they're not putting their heads together, reinforcing their idea of, oh, we don't want to do this. And you want to make the sale when the people are in the showroom, right? They're going to leave and they're going to reconsider. And, you know, buyer's remorse or whatever. And so there does seem to me, it just reminds me of that. I'm not suggesting that you want to convert people on the spot while they're in the showroom, so to speak. But I understand that element of people being able to walk away from it and revert and, you know, back to the more comfortable, safe space of being in the crowd, I think. It's a big part of it. That's another thing people see. If their reality unravels, then their social fabric is going to unravel along with it. They're not going to be able to have those water cooler discussions anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it happened to me, dude. This process happened to me. you know, and I've even questioned whether or not I should have even looked into this information, because it's like, what can you do about it? That's the million-dollar question. What the hell are you going to do about it? You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
You're just going to spread the word and tell two people and tell two people and let it. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I've opened up, I've opened people up more than I thought I would be capable of in a lot of cases. So I'm not pessimistic necessarily. I'm not optimistic or pessimistic, I want to say. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but if things keep going on this trajectory, I can't imagine. I when I'm 70 years old, I can't imagine. I'm not having kids unless I'm damn sure that.
See, there's your first mistake. See, that's the goal. You just let them win when you said that. That's how I look at it.
Well, you're right.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Zach Hubbard with freetofindtruth.blogspot.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
That was before I added the last part on fakeologist.com. Them win. Why don't you have? You can, if you listen to Marcus, you know he doesn't like the word kids. Why don't you have children? You can tell them what you think. Why not add one more woke children to the world? Of the world.
Well,
is the world so bad? I don't think the world is so bad. The sun is out today. I don't know where you are. You're in Illinois. The sun is out. Life is growing. The grass is growing. Life is good. If I did not have the media, I would have no idea what you were talking about. Life is great.
I guess you do have a point. I guess you do have a point there. I don't know. I mean, I get anxiety about, just being successful in life sometimes. And I think that, I just don't like the entrapping feeling of, life sometimes, you know. I love life, but I don't want to, it's like, I don't want to force that on somebody who doesn't consent, you know, like just this Twilight Zone reality, you know. I know this world is probably less, you know, less scary than we're told, but
it's not scary. The media is scary. You have to stop consenting.
But what do you feel like your limitations are now, Sean, as far as you mentioned something about being successful or...
I don't feel I have, I don't really know, because I don't want to work a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life, but I wonder, what degree of success is possible without selling out. I wonder. I think a large degree of success is possible. You're not going to be like, you know, the next Brad Pitt or anything. I don't know.
Oh, did you say you're an actor, though?
No, I said I was making a point about how anybody could technically become an actor and get small-time gigs, you know, but that doesn't mean they're going to be the next Hollywood star. So I was making that point. I was saying I could become an actor right now if I wanted to. That doesn't mean I'm going to make a lot of money. It just means I get paid like $30 to be in somebody's YouTube video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a tough decision. I mean, I wanted to be an artist. I spent over 20 years being a professional musician without any like big success, but I was able to buy rental property and stuff, and then I kind of tossed that away when I got married. I put my ex-wife through business school, sold my property, and then that lasted till she got her green card and her second bonus after her MBA, and then I had to come back and...
Where did she get her green card from?
She was Russian. She was from Moscow. I haven't talked to her.
Nice.
I should ask her about that.
Nice.
But,
Russian, there's some really good-looking women.
So I got a day job during all that time doing audio video production work, which I was doing until 2 months ago, and still playing on the side. So I kind of nursed the artistic dream for a long time, and actually I got a really late start, and my wife and I have done pretty well. We're 60, and we're probably looking at, you know, well, I'm 60. She would have a heart attack if she was lumped into that age. So for,
she's in her 40s, probably, the way you.
She's
a young chicken.
She's a young chicken. And
did we ever get her name? I forget her name. Did we say her name on that broadcast?
No, we just called her Miss Fakeologist.
All right, because I forgot her name already.
But I've said all that to say, you know, I kind of pursued the artistic path for a long time without any success. Got a day job later in life, and kind of managed to pull things together to a point where if things don't go completely sideways, like the Bolshevik style,
yeah,
you know, we might still be able to live comfortably after either of us are able to work. We're not going to be going to Nice every year or whatever.
My question is, are we going to work in the future?
There's lots of work still. There's lots of work. By the way, just if anyone is curious, the stock market is within 8% of its all-time high again, so somebody's making money.
That's bizarre.
It's not. Well, you still need stuff. You still need oil. Oil's back over $40.
Yeah.
So the guys that rode the wave up and down,
well,
made off like bandits.
What I was going to make is that ever since the cotton gin or whatever, the combine, any new technology came along, you could probably go look at newspapers and books from that time period, 100, 200 years ago, with the loom or the printing press, all the copywriters are going to be able to, all the textile workers are going to be out of work. The cotton farmers are going to be out of work. You know, it's like this whole automation is going to be the death of labor. And it never happens. There's always new things. People always want
lots of
new
things. You got it.
So there's, you know, I wouldn't worry about that too much.
What's going to happen to us when everything is automated, though?
They can't automate everything. It's a pipe dream. It can't, because
they can try.
It's the robots. You know,
there's
so many things that, like, the work that I do requires a crew of sometimes 50 or more people doing what are low-level kind of simplistic type of activities, but it would take, God knows, the expense of creating robots to do all that stuff. It's just not economically feasible. It makes no sense to roboticize everything.
You still need people to make a family, to make to make children that are functional.
Make consumers.
Yeah. There's lots to do in this world. Stop being so worried. They're just trying to reframe society. You need these monumental changes, and every single business and social agency was probably given a heads up, or they're realizing it just by consuming the media. This is the greatest time ever to make the changes you want, because these windows, these blue light specials at Kmart, they only happen once in a generation. This is the time when the treasury is being looted by all the people that know how to loot it, and they're making money for themselves and their businesses to set them for the next 20 years. Now, the only thing I really hate about this is the social distancing bullshit, but I think that's going to be hopefully overcome by the majority that just realize that that's an insane way to live.
They're implying it's coming back in fall.
No, I'm just saying that in general, there's still the majority of people that believe in social distancing and believe that they can catch a virus. Unfortunately, that's just reality. Perception is reality. People perceive that. That is the majority. Mm-hmm. So in order, yeah, that hopefully will go away with logic, but I'm not certain it will.
On the other side of that, there's elites. I mean, maybe they're not upper echelon. There's ball team owners and concert promoters and venue managers and tour managers and people and artists that promote live events. My industry is completely decimated right now. There's a lot of high-level millionaires and multimillionaires that own these companies that want to see these things open. I don't think they're just going to throw up their hands and say, well, this is the way it is forever.
I agree. So what's going to happen to you?
There's going to be some noise made by some people with influence and power.
I
right now, these rioters, they're, you know, out of work millennials, or not pardon my, Sean, for not that I'm referring to your generation particularly, but people that probably don't have a lot of influence.
Young people who have nothing to lose.
Right.
I'm not a millennial. I'm a Generation Z.
Okay.
That's how old I am.
I can't even keep track anymore.
Or you're just a young guy who's 20. We don't need to give you a label. Just young people in general have nothing to lose because they don't have a big investment in the system yet. Some 20-year-olds might, but in general, and all generalizations are wrong, including this one, but they tend to be the ones that go run around, except if you're a stage 75-year-old running up into a wall of police in Buffalo.
And these, you know, the elite rely on the media entertainment complex, too, to get their message out. And these bands and artists, Beyonce or whoever, they're probably not making anything off of album sales anymore, or next
right.
to nothing.
That's gone.
So
that's
the
gone,
tours
yeah.
is where they make their money.
Yep,
so they
need
to put a lid on this stuff forever. It's got to come back at some point. Because they need it for their own messaging, and in order to have good artists that they're going to want, that they can co-op, that are good enough to make people pay attention, that they can use to promote their own agenda, they're going to have to bring them back so they can tour. You know, otherwise they're not going to get that level of ability. So, I mean, this isn't going to go on forever. And it's, you know, not that the people at the bottom can really do anything to change it, but there's going to be a lot of people at the top, I think, they're going to start making some waves here before long.
I think that's possible. I don't think, because some people like to think along the lines of everything's a stage deal and it's all controlled. I think that's closer to the truth, but I don't think it's the absolute truth. And I do think there's a little wiggle room at the top to where that could happen. A little wiggle room.
Well, I hang my hopes on the idea that just like from what we've seen in the movies and maybe what we can guess is reality, that in the mafia, per se, somebody has a cousin who's a little bit too rogue or something. Vinny on the east side is breaking too many heads and he's going to bring it down on us. Somebody's got to take care of him. I know he's part of the family, but he's getting too out of hand.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's somebody within the system that say, look, we're going to kill the golden goose if we keep pushing this way. It's too much too fast. And they might reel it back in.
If you believe there are competing gangs on top, yes, I agree. I don't think there's one cohesive gang on top. I agree with that.
It's like the mafia. It's like a mob. It's literally a gang. You know, I think it's multiple. I think it's primarily various families that have inbred throughout generations to maintain the power.
Yeah.
But they're all on the same team for the most part. However, there is turf wars. I do think that is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
And their stuff is probably not divided equally. There's somebody's palace is bigger than the next and they have a gold Bentley instead of a silver one or whatever. And there's probably some envy and a bit of infighting that goes on there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Do we know who's at the tippity top? I mean, I don't think they would even reveal themselves.
I think it's all kinds of people, all kinds of big families. Mm-hmm. I think it's not, they don't meet anywhere. Yeah, maybe some meet at Bilderberg Hotel or Davos, but in general, I think they're just large groups of super wealthy families for sure that control. There might be 10,000 of them. I don't think there's 13. There's probably thousands of them.
And they definitely, I would suggest they know how this game is played through the fake media.
Oh, yeah.
And there does seem to be a lot of symbolism implanted into the fake media that they can use to glance and see this is a 33 story or this is a 9/11 story, and then they know they don't have to respond to it and keep moving. Without having to be in the know, you know, at a meeting per se.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know who's, the one thing about it though, it's just so mind boggling. I mean, are they even human? And what I mean by that, I mean, I do think they're the same biological species as humans, right? As us, but,
their culture, their own culture must be so different. And I can't even conceptualize, you know, like, what do they even know the truth about, say, what space is? Do they even know that? Do they even know? Do they even know the truth about particle physics or any of that stuff? You know what I mean? Or do they just speculate, create theories because they're as completely in the dark as we are? But they know that since they have all of the money and the power, that by convincing us of their fake theories, that they can control us. Is that what's going on? I don't know.
That's speculation on our part, really. I mean, I don't have a problem describing a lot of these people as psychopaths, which doesn't mean that they're not human, but they don't, for whatever reason, they're devoid of empathy, I guess. Stalin had a great quote, and if this is, you know, once again, so supposedly he said one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that they have the ability to sort of, and you can, you know, you may have seen the Madeleine Albright clip where she says it was worth it to kill 500,000 women and children in Iraq to get their agenda implemented. It was a hard choice, but it was worth it. I mean, to me, that's just psychopathic. You're like, but what is it that you need done so badly you're willing to kill 500,000 women and children, and you're going to say this on national TV? Like, you know.
Well, let me ask, though, like, what about our culture, okay? How is it even a thing that we're a so-called civilized culture, yet we send our brothers, our fathers, our sons, our uncles into these so-called wars to fight and die? Why is that a normal perception? Why is that the status quo perception, and this is normal? You know, and why do we idolize people who, you know, like, I don't know.
It's just the power of conformity. It's really, really strong.
That's really what it boils down to. That's it. You know, there's no other basis to support these ideologies.
I mean, I notice it when I go into a store without a mask. And I never wear one unless somebody from the store itself says something to me. And many times I'm the only one out of 100 people that's wearing one. And it's kind of a little uncomfortable. You know, it's like this pull to conform. It's very powerful, you know. And many times, too, I've gone and I've gone to get something somewhere, say, and there's two lines and there's 30 people in one and five in the other. And I walk up to the one that has five people in it, and it's just the same thing, that everybody picked the long line because they assumed that there was some kind of problem with the line with five people in it. So they didn't go stand it. It's just, it's really weird, you know. Or, looking up on the street or something, you know. You've seen that people look up, and people start looking up just to see what you're looking at.
Have you seen the psychology? It's a test. It wasn't a test. I can't believe I forgot the word. A study. A case study. And I know the problem with case studies, but hear me out. It essentially said that some people do not conduct inner speech. They don't have inner monologues.
I wouldn't know about how to test that. But
me neither. I don't know how they would test that.
I'd be really surprised, and I find that to be a little frightening.
Well, I think it makes sense.
Well, yeah, it would seem so, but I feel like people have inner monologues, but a lot of times they're just the same thing that they've heard elsewhere replaying itself.
Or it's drowned out by the external world. Either or, I just think that people don't understand or possess the ability right now, understand to possess the ability to think about their thinking. They can have thoughts, but they can't think about their line of thoughts.
Well, that's a big, I think that's been a big part of the agenda for quite a while since compulsory education is eliminating the methodology for thinking. Like, from what I've heard, I don't know if it's true, that the trivium, are you familiar with the trivium method of, what is it, logic and rhetoric, grammar, logic and rhetoric, and so gathering the facts, analyzing them, and being able to understand them and convey the information. So, I mean, that right now, from most everything I see, education is just more about memorization and, you know, being able to recite what you've memorized. So there's no attention given to teaching people how to think.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
What do you think of the FakeX rocket, Sean?
Sounds fake.
Yeah, it is. I didn't watch all the different videos that are blowing that fake story up, but by all accounts, they don't show the landings. I don't even know what went up and how it came down, but it just sounds like they didn't spend any time working on this PSYOP either. It's just, they just put it out there, and if people pay any attention, that's great. If not, no need to waste too much energy on this one.
Yeah, I think a lot of our local news could be subject to fakery as well, even down on the local level, because I've been looking at some of my local news, and I have to say I'm not convinced on a lot of it. I'm not saying it's like everything down to the local level is contrived and controlled, but I'm saying it seems to sometimes go down even to that, like your local news. And it's just like, I guess it's little baby psyops, maybe some lower level guys do, or I don't know. No.
Yeah, for sure.
Are there really, like, what I want to, I'm thinking about it, are there thousands of people that are in the know? Is that, I think there are thousands of people who are somewhat in the know, but how many people are in the know? You know what I mean? And because there has to be a large number of people who are involved, larger than we think, you know? I don't know. I'm just,
well,
I like to think
about, I don't think every Mason knows what people are doing in their name. I think the hoaxers borrow the Mason's name just to make it seem like it's all Masons, but I think they're just like anyone else. There's just as many that have no idea what's going on. If I don't hear someone talk about the word psyops, and then I don't think they have any idea what's going on. I need to hear the certain keywords, and I need to hear understanding that you know what a psyop is and how large of an operation it is before I'll listen to anything you have to say. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to associate the word psyop with fake, because that's just how I didn't understand it in the information. I made that correlation mentally, but PSYOP is obviously psychological operation. Most events are PSYOP hoaxes from what I've looked at. I used to believe that they were real, but not what we were told, you know.
Have you ever read the Army Psychological Operations Field Manual? It's pretty illuminating, I think.
You have a link to that?
You can find links to it all over the place. I don't know that I ever downloaded it, but I do remember reading one page that was talking about basically propaganda and influence in countries, and it had bullet points for things, ways to, you know, using logical fallacies and all this kind of stuff to disseminate news, and they were talking about other places, but everything that I read in there is
that from December 2003?
I don't know. I can't
psychological operations, tactics, techniques, and procedures?
Yeah, if you go through there, you can look and see that everything that they have in there is exactly what you see on the news. You can just go down and check them off as you listen to the mainstream news describing things. It's pretty, it's pretty interesting. So, you know, I think that's probably a fairly reliable thing. I don't know. I don't even know why it's in the public domain, but it is.
Well, they need to recruit people to implement it all the time. So people need to read it, I guess. I'm just looking here. I'm seeing if this is what it is. I'll put the link. Can you just look at it and tell me if this, I'm looking at the right thing?
It possibly. I was browsing around years ago, but...
it's valuable. Not sure this
production,
is it.
Organizing organic print assets, visual product production, written or pictorial message on a variety of media, visual media, the most diverse types of PSYOP products, posters, handbills, or leaflets. I mean, of course, we can extend that to video, soccer balls, and newspaper, magazine production. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of it's probably here. The one I'm looking at, I think that's the same one. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at now. So, yeah, I mean, they've been at this sort of thing for a long time, and it's not, you know, I look at the whole riot thing as just an extension of COVID that was on the books, you know, back when.
I think there's many aspects. There's many layers of PSYOP to the current PSYOP. Like, in one way, it's acting as a form of false opposition against the lockdowns, I feel. And in other ways, obviously it's helping extend the lockdown and all of what's going on. I think what we're seeing right now is more complex than, most of us in this niche probably know of, to be honest. I think there's more layers of why they're doing it than we probably know of or think of right now.
Yeah, I'm assuming they have an end in mind. To my mind, China would be the model that they would envision to be the worldwide
idea
for them.
Do you think they could really bust the U.S. down to a Chinese model? That's a lot of busting.
They seem to be trying.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I pointed this out to some of my non-conspiratorial friends. They're succeeding in some ways because the tracing update that we get on our phones now to trace people who were supposedly diagnosed with COVID, right? You know, I pointed out that that's the same blacklisting technique that the China social credit system utilizes. And Boogeyman China, we're all worried about Boogeyman China, yet we're implementing their same systems, you know? I don't know. It's just people, the fallacies are just endless with these. I can't wrap my mind around
how. Well, you're doing a good job. You're trying. You're doing a good job. You're figuring it out.
you're a good 25 or 30 years ahead of me. So
yeah, all of us. You're way ahead of all of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have the internet, though. You know, it's a lot easier for people my age.
But the internet is so vast that if you don't know where to look, you'll never find anything. So you found Fakeologist, you found Fakotube, you found Fakeologist.social, all five sites we've got here. So definitely register on, actually send me a direct message. I'll register you on Fakeologist.com. It's the only one you can't do it yourself.
Sure.
Send me your email. I'll just do a direct registration. We got forums. You got the Discord. Everyone mainly uses the Discord because it's so easy to use.
Well, I wanted to ask, though, I don't know when you guys started looking into this stuff, but...
Well, me, 2012. How? 2012.
That's when you started looking into it, period?
Yes. I had no idea what PSYOPs and fake... I was just a regular media junkie. I had no idea that this kind of stuff could happen. None. Not a clue.
Well, what was the scene like back then, or even before? I don't know if there's anybody here that remembers it before the internet or was into it before the internet, but I just like to wonder about.
Well, there was Bill Cooper. He was on shortwave radio, and he had a newsletter that went out by, I suppose, the snail mail. So that was probably more how things went. If
May
you could
Brussels.
Tune into his broadcast.
Do you remember her?
Who?
May Brussels. We used to send out cassettes and stuff.
No, I don't. That's before my time.
Yeah, way back there, 70s, I think.
Oh, wow.
70s,
wow.
80s, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I know Jordan Maxwell.
Like Kennedy stuff, you know, and that.
Yeah. Way before my time.
What is that book? None Dare Call It a Conspiracy.
None Dare Call It a Conspiracy? That's the name of a book?
Yeah, and it said Gary somebody. I can't remember. But that was back in the 80s maybe or something. 70s. Mostly about Kennedy and stuff, though. So, I mean, the conspiracy, I think, evidently, from what I understand it, conspiracy theorist was coined by the CIA, right? To dismiss people questioning the Kennedy assassination.
Well, I think, I'm starting to think that the conspiracy culture could have been started from the start, because I think, you know, those first names, those first couple of names, those guys that started out, most people in this realm would probably consider those guys agents, in my opinion. Like, was the truth scene just, was it started?
Full of shills and agents, yeah. I think so. I think that's good.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, my assumption is they know people are going to question these narratives.
Yep.
They're just
wolves.
So they have to throw distractions, conspiracy candy, you might call it, you know, lead people down rabbit trails. The Kennedy, is it the CIA? Is it the mob? Was there a second shooter? The grassy knoll, all this other distraction from keeping people from asking the fundamental question, was this just a stage play, a movie? Did this even really happen at all? And that's the big question that they seem to be most protective of having people ask, you know.
I've noticed that as well. Like, of course it has to be, because 9 out of 10 times, if not 10 out of 10 times from what it looks like, I mean, all of these so-called events that were so-called conspiracies were actually hoaxes.
Which could be a form of conspiracy. It just includes the media as being one of the conspirators. They're not an objective observer capturing of real events. They're participating in the scripting and the production, too. Which shouldn't be a stretch if you think about it, because people watch all kind of fiction on TV both before and after their news programming, and then for that little segment, they turn off their suspension of disbelief and go into full belief mode, and then flip it right back on again a half an hour later. Like, why?
Well,
are you doing that?
When did the truth scene start to get into media fakery? You know, when did people start to realize media fakery? That's because I think media fakery, that's where the whole thing just crumbles. I think that's what people need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Simon Shack was my first exposure, I think.
Yeah, have you watched September Clues?
I actually just watched it. I already knew 9/11 was a hoax before, but yeah, I just watched it because I know it's a definitive documentary, and I felt compelled to watch it, you know.
And what's interesting, and you were around, and I brought this up not long ago, that all the original footage is still on archive at archive.org. So all of this stuff in September Clues can be verified
if
you're so interested. And I browse it and look at it once in a while, and I just at first blush now, I can't believe. It looks like it's more fake than Godzilla. It's incredible how bad the production values are in those videos. But I watched it at the time, and I totally believed all of it. It was it took me a little while to come around to realizing. And now when I see it, I'm like, I just can't believe I was taken in by this fake stuff. It's so cheap.
Well, what first
what made it hard for me to accept that 9/11, that nobody died in 9/11 is, you know, I've had people tell me that they claim to know people who claim to have seen something, you know somebody. Everybody seems to know a 9/11 victim, but if you actually think about,
I don't know.
I'll
be back in a bit, guys. You keep talking.
If you think about the mathematical odds, the chances of any one of us meeting one person who knew somebody who died, reportedly died in the towers, the odds are on par to like winning the lottery or getting struck by lightning twice. I mean,
yeah.
And yet everybody seems to know somebody who died.
That's kind of a joke in the fakeology community. Oh, I have a friend whose mother's babysitters, dog walkers, newspaper boys, elementary school teachers, maids, father-in-law, you know, just like the degrees of separation go on and on and on.
Why is this the case? Like, why? And they're normal people. I don't think these people are like paid shills or anything. So why do they think they know people that died?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, that people maybe just want to insert themselves into the story, or they heard something from someone. And they, you know, who knows? And I mean, I think there are paid agents out there there are lifetime actors that go around and they're the survivors or whatever, and they have supposedly, I mean, and that too, if there were really 3,000 people that died, there's really about maybe a dozen that have had any real media exposure out of all of those, and no real memorial presence and no lawsuits, and, you know, it just goes on and on. But the other thing about the coincidence and statistics, there have been several people like that have been at the Boston bombing that were at 9/11 and were also at the Vegas shooting. I heard recently that supposedly 50 people that were at the Vegas shooting were at the Thousand Oaks shooting in California a year later. And there's somebody that was in Brussels that was also at the Bataclan that was at 9/11. I mean, and these are official accounts, but I think they're almost like jokes. But most people don't know these events with the level of detail that we do from looking into them. And it's just like, yeah, there's always a drill. There's always actors involved in the events. There's always military and media personalities involved in the events. It's just like the level of coincidence is so off the charts.
When it comes to Vegas, because I do have a friend who is also, I can talk to, I talk to him, pretty frequently, but he got offended because I said I believed Vegas was a hoax, and he claims that he has family that went there and witnessed SWAT people shooting, and I don't know if I believe it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I do think there are.
I mean, they could have witnessed gunshots, hearing gunshots, and in a state of panic, just assumed it to be true and that people died. I can see that. I mean, I think that's how a lot of these events transpire. You know, they put gunshots over the speaker, and normal people are going to think that they're actual gunshots, and they're automatically going to assume by default that people die.
Or there could be cops with blanks. I think there's a certain level of street theater that's probably fairly sophisticated that they do in conjunction with these things to convince people on the ground. And I do think they need witnesses that are going to go disseminate the story in their communities. So there's a level of deception on the street that happens. I don't know that it's all confined to just actors that are involved directly being paid. And there's crowds on demand, crisis cast, and there's other people that are paid to go populate these things. And then probably where the action is actually contained, it's probably fairly limited, but then they're on the periphery, people hear a big commotion, and then they're herded away from it by cops and stuff, you know. They put up caution tape and then seal off the area, and everybody's like, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Psychologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
But yeah, as far as the Vegas thing, and I don't know if I have an archive, but there was a guy that went out the day after with a camera with a pretty good zoom lens, and he got on a rooftop or something nearby and just shot the parking lot, all the signage, all the rooftops, and it took about an hour doing just close-ups of every surface in that whole area. And you could tell it was the place because all the signage was still up. The audio gear was still up, and they were sweeping up. And there's not a single bullet hole anywhere.
There's supposed to be on Faco Tube.
But how would
on Faco Tube. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, on Faco Tube, Tim Osman gave me a video that I put up there where the guy's walking around after the shooting, and there's nobody, everyone just laying there. They're just playing dead. I think the lights are out. I got to find it. The Las Vegas shooting. One more thing.
Well, how would I go about, how would you recommend I go about, because it's going to be hard for somebody. Let me just find it here.
Las Vegas.
It was a complete hoax if he claims to have family, you know, like.
That lost family members, or was this there?
No, the family witnessed this event, and they claimed that there were SWAT officers shooting bullets. Now, my theory is there were SWAT officers, but there were they heard bullets, and automatically in that state of panic, they're going to associate.
Well, that is what a hyper, these are not fake in the sense that they didn't happen. This is where we got to get the language right. These are hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real. If we can get away from the fake idea, because Donald Trump ruined that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the footage. I found it on
Are you good, brother? Are you good?
We don't know.
Are you with me? He's breathing with me. I see him breathing with me. I see no entry wound. I see no exit wound. I don't know how to treat.
Me either. I'm like...
I see a no entry wound.
I don't know if this guy walking around is real or if he's part of the PSYOP or not, but he's walking around. These guys are laying on the ground, and you can hear that he can't find any wounds.
No,
wait,
anybody.
Wait.
Is someone shot?
Cross their arm. Try to cross their arm.
Are you with? Hello.
I've got a bail. It was nice talking to you guys, man.
So I'm gonna bail soon too, but I'll put this in the live stream show notes, Faco Tube.
Okay. And welcome, Sean, man. Now you have a place to go. You know, you're not crazy. You can always come talk to anybody here.
So the guy's walking around, no gunshot wounds, and they're all laying on the ground.
I'm already pretty sure it's a hoax. I mean,
well, it's a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. It's a real event where they had a real actors, real people playing roles, sound effects, everything. These things are not minor events. They're highly orchestrated. It's the level of sophistication is fantastic. They're LARPing situations, live action role players portrayed as real. They're not fooling around here. You're not dealing with just some acting troupe. This is a fully funded, executed HRDPAR, hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. The level of sophistication organization is beyond anyone's imagination. That's why it's not in anyone's realm of possibilities.
It's a play. It's a stage, you know.
It's amazing, is what it is. It's amazing.
Well, when you look at the situation, it's really just a miraculous situation. Like, this shouldn't even be
like possible. You know, I would be skeptical that a situation like this is actually taking place, because how many of us exist against them as opposed to them? You know, it's just,
well, it's a small group that can do it. Let me just watch the rest of this.
Hey, where are you hit? Where are you hit?
It's my head.
Head?
He's hit in my head, but I'm still breathing.
Where from? Where is it? Where's the head wound?
Right here. An entry and an exit. I don't know. Right here.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, it's fucking done.
What?
Hey, he's gone. Is everyone?
Where are you hit? Where are you hit?
She's hit. We're applying pressure right now.
I'm trying to find nurses. I know nurses. I'm trying to find nurses. I'm trying. You got a pulse? Good. Hey! EMTs! Any EMTs? EMT! Come here.
I tend to think this guy's part of the operation, unfortunately, because the video's impossible to follow. He's all of it. It's pointed and always in the wrong direction, but it's definitely a video that is just part of the whole thing.
Right here!
Get over here! We need to.
Right here! Under the female! Under the female! She's got a pulse, she's breathing. Anyone here a hit needs an EMT?
No.
You good?
No, we're okay.
Give me a second. EMT! Anyone EMT?
EMT!
EMT? EMT? Anyone EMT?
Where?
Right here. Come on. Come on.
I need a shirt.
Right here.
Right here.
You got one, she's
breathing.
Oh my God. Any EMTs? Where are the EMTs? Why are the lights off? There are no EMTs. They turn the lights off. Where are the EMTs? Why are the lights off?
Turn the lights off to secure the area.
Shooting's already stopped. Shooting was going on during the shooting. Now we need lights to assess victims and assign EMTs.
Okay, everybody right now that's here on ground is deceased.
No, they're not. I got EMTs working on the guy here. I got EMTs working on the guy here. I got an EMT and a nurse working on the guy over here. I need lights on. If you know how to do that, get these lights back on.
Okay, who are you?
Innocent bystander, bro. My mom's a nurse.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help.
I need your help.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Is there more? Okay, come on.
Anyway, that's it. That was on FACOTUBE.com. Take a look, guys. All right, I'll be back in a little bit, Sean, if you're still here.
Okay.
Are you going to hang in a bit more? Are you?
I'll hang in a bit more.
I'll be back in a bit. I just have to go do something. I'll be back.
That's all, folks.